Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
We're going to sing about the faithfulness of God.
Tonight I have the most serious and urgent prophetic word that I have ever released. Beginning tonight, I am releasing a 10-day of judgment upon the earth. Tonight, I urge you to listen. Because those who listen, those who truly take in what the Lord is revealing to me in this hour, it could mean the difference between life and death. I urge you, yes, a lot will be said tonight, but every word has been instructed by the Father himself. Everything that he has revealed to me is so significant. And taking into account the seriousness of this message that has been given me, which I will release over 10 days, judgment upon all of mankind, taking that into account, I urge you, please listen. And do not only listen, but share this video far and wide so that many others can listen to what is on God's heart for us all right now. All right, so if you followed my channel, you know that on the 11th of February this year, I released a prophetic warning about an eclipse that is happening on the 8th of April this year. Since then, many others have released videos and prophetic warnings regarding the 8th of April and the solar eclipse that is happening on this date. Okay, now I'm beginning the first day of judgment. Tonight, as instructed by Father, to begin tonight, and I will release a video every second day, 10 days of judgment. The final day just happens to end on the 8th of April. As I was busy preparing today to bring you this message, the Father drew my attention to the date. As I said to you, I released that prophecy on the 11th of February. So when we look at the number 11 and the number 2, we can see 1 plus 1 equals 2, right? So we have the final number, the number 22. So we need to look, what is the biblical significance of the number 22? Now this is very, very important. As I continue with this tonight, you'll see that this is great significance. Now, this biblical number 22 has two meanings, and both of them are exactly opposite from one another. One meaning is that it's a number of light. It represents light. And another meaning is that it also represents darkness. So we can see that the biblical interpretation of the number 22 is pointing to light as well as darkness. Now, think about the significance of that regarding the prophecy about a solar eclipse, which is literally the light that is being turned into darkness. That's what a solar eclipse is. That's what happens. And even yet, the same day I released the prophetic word adds up to the numerical value of 22, which points to darkness as well as light. Now, as I said a few days ago, Father called me to 10 days of consecration, and he instructed me to listen each day for a day of judgment, at 10 days of judgment. All right, and he also instructed me to release the first day today, which is the 21st of March. Again, we will do the same thing we did with the first date, 21, 2 plus 1 is 3. And yet it is the third month, which adds to 33. So I went to look at the biblical meaning of 33. And astonishingly, I found it also represents two things. The number 33 represents judgment as well as promised blessing. So the promises of God is represented in the number 33. The promises of God is revealed, as well as the judgment of God. We see again to opposites being revealed, but this is very, very significant. Okay. Now, as I said to you, I am busy with 10 days of judgment. I've received this 10 days, this set of 10 days, I believe is the final judgment that I will speak over mankind. I was also told to release this, exactly as I explained, every second day. Now, take note that the last day is on the solar eclipse, the 8th of April. Now, this is a very significant date as well. This is as well the final day of the Muslim holy day, which is a month of fasting. It's called Ramadan. And their final day of celebrating this high holy month to them falls on the 8th of April. All right. The Jewish calendar, according to the Bible, also begins on the 8th of April because God institutes in Exodus 12, he institutes the first month of the biblical year. Yes, today the Israel keeps it in the seventh month for some reason, but according to Exodus 12, it was the first month of the year, one Nisan. And this begins on the 8th of April. This is also very, very significant. Do you see already the prophetic sign between darkness and light is consistent all over, all through this message? And then if that wasn't enough, 14 days later, Passover begins on the 22nd of April. All right? Now, we all know, according to Exodus 12, why the Passover, when the Passover was first instituted, was after the 10 plagues. It was given over Egypt, right? 10 plagues were sent over Egypt. And then God, when he sent the final plague, he instituted the Passover so that his people could be saved. That was a very significant. And as I will explain to you tonight, these 10 days of judgment the Father placed on my heart, that is just like the 10 plagues of Egypt, and that he sees this current kingdom of man as an Egyptian bondage. Right? We refer to it as a spiritual Egypt. So this is all very significant. Why is God doing all of this and showing us these signs and choosing specific dates and connecting those dates to biblical understanding? Because he wants your attention. He wants you to understand how serious this is. He's trying to grab your attention to listen. Because if you don't, it could cost you your life. Please, I urge you, listen to this whole video. Listen to all 10 days. Because he not only judges, he also explains why he is judging. And he also gives us the hope, the promise of survival if we follow in his ways. Therefore, please listen. All right. Now, understand that it is significant because of what I'm about to reveal to you, the fact that he calls us spiritual Egypt. I'm going to shock many of you tonight. I was shocked when the Father showed me this. In fact, the second day of receiving the judgment, I spent the entire day on my face sobbing. Sobbing to such an extent that I couldn't speak. I was just lying at his feet, sobbing, because I couldn't believe what I was hearing. And therefore I say, this is the hardest message I will ever have to give you. And I believe it is the final judgment that I will speak over mankind. Listen to the end, because I'm going to reveal to you why he says that our current kingdom of man is likened to Egypt, and why he says that we are enslaved to it. Now, in 2022, I received the first set of judgments upon mankind. This was judgment over all of man. It was a seven-day fire prophecy that the Father gave me. 7 days of consecration, and each day he would give me another day of judgment. I released that in 2022. I will link it below if you want to go see that. Now, in this seven-day prophecy, he prophesied fire every single day, that judgment would fall by fire and the earth would start burning. What happened weeks after was suddenly the earth started burning. What do I mean with this? Many countries, many nations all around the world started burning. In fact, records were broken worldwide in the year 2022, 2023, and even the beginning of this year, with so many nations blazed with fires. Cities were burnt. People died. Thousands upon thousands of hectares were burning all over the world. Canada, America, Europe, Asia, Africa, everywhere it was burning. I actually documented the fires and put it in a video so that you can see that the prophecy was coming to pass. I'll also link that below. This is very significant. Take note. This prophecy came to pass, yet it is not complete. It will continue to be fulfilled. Okay? The earth is going to continue to burn until the days of judgment is complete. All right. Then in 2023, I received another set of judgment. This time, it was 3 days of judgment. And this time, it was all about war. I prophesied that all of the earth would be erupted in war, in a battle, and that we would see World War III breaking out. Okay, now, this was released last year in August. I specifically went to see, is anyone else prophesying it? Is anyone even speaking about World War III? And I could find nothing. Nothing was being said. Yes, Israel was at war, and the whole world was focusing on the war in Israel, but no one was breathing a word about World War III yet. Now, look at the difference today, just a few months later. Everyone is talking about World War III. The newspapers, the government, everywhere, the prophets, everyone is talking about World War III. And not only are they talking about it, but wars have escalated. So many more wars have broken out. That is not being spoken of in mainstream media. Yet if you go and look for it, you'll find it. Division, war, civil war, everywhere it is spreading across the globe. And the tensions are high right now. Look at what NATO is doing. For the first time, I think since their inception, or since the Cold War, they are actually coming together to strengthen their armies, building more equipment, getting more ammunition and guns and practicing, literally, for World War III. It's so bad that the Swedish, I think it was the Prime Minister or the President, told his country to prepare for war. He actually told his people to get ready for war. Russia is also expanding their army. Everywhere we look, there is tension. Everybody knows. You don't need to be a prophet anymore today to understand that we are on the precipice of a world war. All right. Now, the Father showed me something significant. He gave me 7 days of prophecy in 2022 and another 3 days in 2023. 7 plus 3 is 10. That again comes to back to the 10 days of judgment given over Egypt. This is significant. And now in 2024, he gives me the final days of judgment upon mankind, and it's 10 days again. This time, please take note, because it is the severest judgment I have ever spoken. In fact, if he had not given me the first 7 days and 3 days, and my eyes had seen that prophecy come to pass, I don't think I would have been able to speak what I'm about to speak. I don't think I would have been able to do it, because it is that severe. It is that intense. But because I see God work, because I know that I hear from him, and because I've seen the prophetic word come to pass over and over throughout the years, I know that you need to listen and that I need to warn you. All right. Now, why is God doing this? Because, like I said, he's trying to get your attention. Just as the other prophecies came to pass, so will this prophecy. You need to take note. I want you to understand right now. I want you to understand something. As the Father was ministering to me during these days, he showed me something very, very interesting. He showed me that right now, our current world system, okay, all of the nations included, he sees it as the kingdom of man. Now, if we go back to the book of Daniel and all the prophecies that Daniel spoke, we see the prophetic word spans over centuries. And what is he prophesying about? He is prophesying about the rise and fall of many of men's kingdoms. And in the same way, today, we are, in the eyes of God, a kingdom of man. Now, if we look at the beginning of the scriptures to the end, we see the same thread running through the Bible, right from the beginning all the way to the end. We see that there is historical and prophetic accounts of the rise and fall of the kingdoms of men. We also see the most famous one, the very first judgment, is upon the entire earth, and that is in the time of Noah. We know what happened. God judged the entire earth, the kingdom of man, during the time of Noah, and only Noah and his family were saved. That is the severest judgment that God poured out upon all of man. Then we saw Sodom and Gomorrah, and we saw him wipe them off the face of the earth with fire and brimstone, only saving Lot and his family. And unfortunately, his wife was not saved because she disobeyed God. She did not listen to the instructions given to her in order to be saved. Let Lot's wife be an example to us today. There is a way of escape. There is a way to be saved, but you must obey the word of the Lord, else you will be just like Lot's wife. Then we saw the judgment on Egypt, the kingdom of man called Egypt, and 10 plagues were sent to destroy that kingdom. We saw the same pattern throughout the Bible on many different kingdoms of men, over and over and over. And we can even go back into our historical books and look at our archaeological sites that have been uncovered by scientists. Think about the Mayan kingdom that was uncovered by scientists. They cannot explain what happened to them. They assume they know, but they cannot explain it. The same with so many other kingdoms of men throughout our history, that they found the ruins, they've uncovered it, and they cannot explain what happened to these people. It's like they were just wiped off the face of the earth. The same thing we see in the Bible. We see judgment fall on these kingdoms, and they are either utterly destroyed or their power is broken and they're never the same again. Now, God judged these kingdoms for the evil that they were committing in his sight. What are these evils that he judged them for? Number one, child sacrifice. Many of them were committing child sacrifice. Number two, sexual orgies, adulteries, fornications. They were committing great evil in the sight of God. Number three, idolatry. They were worshipping all kinds of false gods and doing detestable things to worship these gods. Men laying with men and women laying with women, and both of them laying with beasts of the earth. God judged these kingdoms. And God also judged kingdoms for creating things that were evil in his sight. Look at Egypt. Have you looked at the history of Egypt? Look at the pyramids. Can you imagine what kind of technology they had back then? What secrets they had uncovered? What systems? It was so advanced that we cannot even understand it today. They built a great and mighty kingdom, and Pharaoh exalted himself as a god. And then God sent his people there so that he could come and save them and destroy the might of that kingdom. Today, there is no trace of anything. We can only see in their books, in their papyruses and the writings on their walls that they had these kinds of things. And yes, we can see the pyramids. But all technology that they used back then has been destroyed. There's no trace of it. We don't know what kind of technology they actually had. And yet some scientists say that it's more advanced than anything we actually currently have today. And that's saying something. All right. But what I see is the most consistent reason for God's judgment to fall on an earthly kingdom, the severest judgment of God, where he destroys all of them, is when it becomes so evil in that civilization that it is no longer safe for the most innocent of men, and that is little children. The little children are no longer safe and protected in that society, that kingdom of man. This is a telltale sign that man's evil has reached a point of no return. When little children are no longer regarded as innocent and in need of protection, it is a telltale sign that the evil has reached a cup that is overflowing. Now, throughout the 10 days of judgment, you will again learn exactly why we are being judged. What is going on? What are we doing that is so evil in God's sight? Understand the seriousness of this. It could cost you your life, like I said, or it could save it. Save others. Share this video far and wide. This is how YouTube's algorithms work. Even if you don't share it, please like it. Please comment something, because you need to comment in order for YouTube's algorithms to push this video up. I need to get this message out, even if you just say, God, have mercy, in the comment section. Please help me spread this word. Now, what God has shown me is that we, as the kingdom of man, the current kingdom of man, is reaching a tipping point. God is about to destroy this current kingdom of man and all that we have built, just as he did with Egypt. This current civilization has been judged by the heavenly court, and judgment has been decreed upon man. Judgment has been written on the wall, and there is nothing we can do about it at this point. The only way to survive it is to obey him exactly as he tells us. That's the only way. To do exactly what he tells us to do. If not, like I said, we will be like Lot's wife and we will not make it. I'm now going to release to you the first day, the word of the Lord and what he has spoken. And afterwards, I'm going to explain something to you that's going to shock you. But I have to tell you, I have to awaken you to understand what is going on in this world around us. All right. Blessed is the Lord our God, the great I am. I am the first and the last. Before you were, I am. Therefore listen, mankind, for I existed before you were formed. Therefore all wisdom is within me alone. You say you know much. You say you have no need of me. Yet the very breath of my mouth is what gives you life. Mankind has been enslaved for many years now, and you do not know it. You do not see it. You have become fools who boast in your own knowledge and your own ways. For man has exalted himself as a god and pursued greatness in their existence. Yet I alone am God, and I alone will be exalted. You set yourself up as idols. Listen. You set yourself up as idols. You have done more wickedly than any other generation before you. You have praised yourself for the work of your hand and the rapid growth you have achieved in the last 100 years. You have done more wickedly than Sodom and Gomorrah and all the evil kingdoms of this earth combined. O mankind, you have exalted yourselves as gods and enslaved the entire human race. You thought in your heart that you were so clever because you could do it in such a way that no one would notice and no one would see your evil plan. And no one would realize what you have done. You have exalted yourselves and built a mighty kingdom, the kingdom of man. But with one breath of my mouth, I will blow on your kingdom, and it shall all crumble, and it shall all fall. For what man can stand against me, the Almighty? You have done great wickedness in my sight. Therefore I shall judge you. Yes, my judgment is coming. For as I delivered my people out of slavery in Egypt to a human race that was building its own kingdom, that was exalting itself and making itself great and setting itself up as if it was a god while enslaving my people, in the same way I will judge you, O man, and each of you that have had a hand in enslaving my people and exalting yourselves as God over my people. Humble yourselves, for judgment is at hand, O man. Each and every man and woman who is found guilty in my court shall pass under my judgment, for it is surely coming, it is surely here. But many will not listen. Many will not hear, for their hearts are ruled by power and greed. Their hearts are not ruled by me. But even so, I have spoken to my children. I have awoken those who have been fast asleep. I have been whispering in their ear while they sleep at night. I say to them, this is the way, walk in it. For I have opened the eyes of the blind. Those you have blinded with a heavy yoke of slavery, promising them riches and a part of your man-made kingdom. Promising them greatness. Yes, you have enslaved my people, and I shall now arise. to free all of them. For I am shaking off every bond and shackle and chain. I am saying to my people, awake, awake and see that you have been enslaved, just as my people were enslaved in Egypt through the work of their hands. So mankind has been enslaved. To those who have been filled with a hunger for power and greed, those who rule over your economy, that includes all sectors of your economy. The first one he mentions is banks. That's important because that's where it all began. Healthcare, financial services, information technology, media, industrials, consumer staples, energy, real estate, consumer discretionary like Amazon, industrial like Boeing, utility companies and material companies like mine, even the church, education and tourism. I shall pour out judgment upon each of these sectors of your economy, and those who have been participating in enslaving my people, wake up, I say. Those who have been in slumber, wake up and see that you have been caught in the snare of man, to build the kingdom of man, to make man great again. Where have you heard those words before? Wake up, I say, my children, arise out of your bondage and slavery. For I am breaking off your shackles, I am ripping off your chains. Open your eyes and see what you have been bound by for so long, for this was not my will, nor my way. For did I not make man with a free will, free to choose his path of life, free to choose the labor of his hands, and free to provide for his family? I'll explain that in a moment. And yet as time goes on, this generation is taking away the freedom of man. And your agenda and your intentions are to continue enslaving man more and more. Wake up, O man, for there is a time planned for you to bring you into slavery that is worse than what my people endured in Egypt. Wake up, O man, for the evil one has risen and taken advantage of the wickedness of man, to build something that I did not build, to pursue something that I did not ordain, and that is artificial intelligence. It is artificial, says the Spirit of God, because it is not made by me, the Creator of heaven and earth. Your enemy is rising, and this enemy will enslave you. For can any good come from anything that is not created by me? Wake up, O man. I'm calling you to wake up. Many will not listen. Many will not hear, for they have been enslaved in ideals, in fantasies, in pictures of a perfect life. They have turned to man as their providers, and they have forgotten that I alone provide for you, that I alone supply the work of your hands, that I alone release abundance to those who walk in righteousness and truth, that I alone give you blessing, O man, and that I alone can release the curse upon wickedness. You have not sought me. You have not turned to me in all of your ways, but followed the dictates of your own evil heart, seeking after a fantasy of making great the kingdom of man. You live in your luxury homes, and you seek after every form of comfort in your lives and ease of life, so that you can enjoy the comforts of laziness. Not even willing to get up, says the Spirit of God, and change a button on your television. Creating remotes so that you can remain still and not have to move your feet. Many do not know, and many have never understood hard labor. For you enslave many others to do the hard labor for you, and you treat them appallingly, and you do not even pay them enough to put food on the table. Man has enslaved mankind. I will hold each of you accountable that has done this wickedness in my sight, for I paid the price for all men to find freedom in me. And yet many do not know me, and many do not have time for me, for all are pursuing the dream of man, to make the kingdom of man great. You scurry about each day to jobs, your occupations, and barely give me a thought, says the Spirit of God. You run around and travel great distances simply to pursue your dreams and play your part in making the kingdom of man great, not knowing that you are enslaved in a system that was created to enslave you, to rule over you, to direct your steps, and to prevent you from pursuing me and allowing me to lead any part of your life. You have bound mankind to the labor of your hands. You are bound to your bosses, to your companies, to your places of employment, to your banks. You are enslaved, and you do not even know it. Wake up, my children, and see the slavery that has taken hold of you and even your children. You are being bred like cattle for the work of your hands, to make every corporation, company, and institution and government great. You call it your economy. You are enslaved to make your economy great. It is a part of a system that from its inception was planned to enslave you by the elite. And yet many millions of people now participate in enslaving their fellow human beings. Love has grown cold. Compassion has left their hearts, and all they see is power and greed. But what they do not see is the great I Am, and how I have watched with long suffering, and how I have endured what you have done to my people. But now I shall arise, and I shall pour out my judgment, and who shall annul it, and who shall stop it from coming? This great kingdom of man shall not prevent the breath of my mouth from blowing. Can you prevent the winds of my destruction? For I will bring about great destruction on the kingdom of man. I shall topple your government. I shall destroy your economy. I shall take away the labor of your hand. And I shall awaken my people to turn another way to find their freedom, to live a life in worship of me and me alone, to find joy and peace, and no longer have their time stolen, as the Holy Spirit said this. Have you noticed how time has sped up? And every year it just seems like you have less and less and less time. It literally feels at the days of going faster. What the Holy Spirit revealed to me here is that because man is stealing the time of man, it is literally having an impact on our time. Something is happening to our time. We literally, our days are shortening. For man is stealing the time of man, says the Holy Spirit. Years are being taken from you, my children. Years of your life for the sake of the kingdom of man, when I called you to live for my kingdom and mine alone. Wake up, my children, for I am about to blow this house of cards that you have built with the breath of my mouth. for I will unleash the winds of heaven, yes, from the four corners of the earth. I am releasing the winds of heaven, and wherever it blows, it shall destroy, and nothing shall be hidden from it. I shall blow upon these houses of straw that you have built, for it is nothing in my sight. This great kingdom that you have exalted yourself with, O man. And I just know that many are looking at this kingdom, this mighty kingdom, and thinking to themselves, really? Will God destroy it all? And maybe you're even thinking, can you? For thus says the Holy Spirit, I shall blow on it with the breath of my mouth, for judgment is at hand. My children, do not fear, but take shelter in me. Now here is the key. Remember, I command the wind, and therefore take up your authority in me as my child and as a part of my kingdom, and command the wind, and it shall not come near you. You shall look upon it as it destroys all those around you, but it shall not touch you. It shall not come near you, for I am your God, and I have spoken. There's so much in this word, the Father revealed to me. I'm actually going to write the book. This is a book that the Father told me already 3 years ago that I would write. My first book I wrote was The Kingdom of Darkness, where God revealed the entire enemy's kingdom to me. The next book I will write, he said back then already, is The Kingdom of Man. And that's what I'm busy with. This is the final judgment. It will be called The Kingdom of Man, The Final Judgment. In that book, I will explain everything and give you all the scriptures that God has given me. This is prophesied in the Word of God that he will pour out judgment upon the entire earth. It is all there if you look in the book of Jeremiah, in Isaiah, in Amos, so much. There's so much for prophecy over the kingdom of man. And like I said, from the beginning of the Bible to the end, there is prophecy regarding the rise and fall of man's kingdom. Listen, Egypt was a mighty kingdom, and yet it stood no chance against the Almighty God. So before you think that this world is indestructible, as they said over the Titanic, God cannot sink. Before you think that, remember that he did. All right. Now, on the first day after this prophecy, Father started showing me things about this world. I knew bits and pieces. He's already taken us out of the world. He's already commanded us step by step. We just obey, sometimes not even understanding why. But now he's given me the whole picture. The first time I understood why he calls the world Egypt. So, remember he says in the word, it began with select few. These were bankers, okay? Astonishingly, as Father revealed these things to me and started showing me that we are enslaved by our own economy. That this whole system that we have built in how we earn money, even the money that is being used, this paper that is presented as a dollar or the rand or the euro, even that has no value. It is fake. It is useless. It's got no value. But because they told you it's got value, you work for it every day. And you take what has no value, and you go and buy what other things have no value, your homes, your cars, and all of these things. You work your entire life just to have that. But you cannot buy that house, and you cannot buy that car without debt. You see, it's brilliant. They knew it. So they created a money system that would enslave you. And they created debt to put that noose right around your neck. Because debt that is created out of nothing, trust me, out of nothing, it is not even real. That's how bad it is. It is simply numbers on a screen, a that is presented to you, telling you that you must work your entire life to pay off these numbers on this screen. It is a lie. It's not even real. The paper that we're using, it's not real. It has no value. But it was created to enslave you so that you could make debt and for the rest of your life have to work to pay off that debt. It is a system of slavery that was incorporated by bankers, by the elite. And America led the way, took us off of the gold standard, led us with this money system that God did not create for us to live with. And so they just keep printing money. Cost prices are rising, inflation is rising, taxes are rising. At the end of the day, the grip is just tightening, tightening, tightening. How much money do you have every month for food? After you've paid all your bills, what is left? What kind of food can you even buy? Most of the population on this earth, so many are starving. Do you know that there is enough food for everybody on this planet? But because the rich desire to get richer, they have made the poor get even poorer. Listen, as the Father showed me all of these things, I asked for a confirmation because this is mind-blowing. I thought of it as, you know, that movie The Matrix, where Neo is sitting in front of Morpheus and he offers him this blue pill, this red pill. He takes the pill of truth and he's revealed what's really going on. And that his entire existence has been a lie. That's the reality I'm trying to tell you tonight. It was all planned. It was all planned by a select few to get richer. Greed and power has driven them to enslave the entire globe. Today we even have children who are working like slaves to bring you cheap products. Many of you don't even realize the products that you are buying are made by children, little children, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, working day and night just for a loaf of bread a day. That's it. To make the rich richer and the poor poorer. And we are all a part of this system. We make our companies rich. Look at the difference between the top CEO's salary and the guy who brings the man. Look at the difference in salaries. They made it this way. It's going to get worse. The whole system has been made to enslave you. Why do you think the schools are tightening their grips on our children's education? It's all part of the plan. They're indoctrinating your children to also be plugged into the system, to also be enslaved. You think you have free will. You think you have choice. But in reality, you are brainwashed into believing that you are free. And that this ideal, this fantasy life of the comfort of a beautiful home, and cars and holidays and all of these things that we lavish ourselves with, that we slave for, Monday to Friday, some Monday to Sunday, we're told that this is the ideal life, this is the way to happiness. They call it in America the American dream. It has become the worldwide dream. It's all we desire, it's all we live for. We work so hard to accomplish that. But God made us to know Him, to live simple lives, to fear Him, and to walk in His commandments. God made us to enjoy His blessing from His hand. Yes, we can work. Yes, we can provide for our families, but in a whole other way. God did not create this system. God did not desire to enslave us. This is a man-made system, and it's made to enslave you. And we've gone that far. We've worshipped ourselves and the work of our hands that much, and we have now committed the greatest idolatry that any man, any human kingdom has ever committed on this earth. We have created artificial intelligence. What is artificial intelligence? It is an image of us. We have made an image of man. We've taken our voice and how God made us and put it into something artificial because we worship ourselves that much and the work of our hands. We've put our intelligence in a being that has no life in it. Today, it can speak and it can think for itself. We've made an image of ourselves and we will worship it. Man is already worshiping it. Have you seen what they've just created? Go and look. It's just been released. There's a new robot that can move just like us. That can speak just like us. That can think for itself. We have created ourselves as God. And as the Father says, these things will enslave us more and more. I pray that you will listen. I pray that you will share. Now, astonishingly, I found a video that explains everything of the slavery system in detail. I ask God for confirmation. This video goes into every little detail. This video, these are experts. I need to understand. This isn't just anybody speaking. These are people that have worked for the World Bank. These are CEOs of companies. They know, they've seen the evil that was created. And everything the Father showed me in the secret place, these men are speaking about and have been speaking about for years now. Who is listening? And get this. I just read you the word of the Lord on day one. I found the video on day two and I was shocked. Because they quote word for word phrases that the Father spoke to me in this word on day one. Go listen to the whole video. Almost 2 hours long. Oh my. You need to listen. Word for word. They are saying what the Father is saying to me. The link is below. Please share this video. These prophecies are going to come to pass. Day one is judgment by wind. I've seen what winds can do. I've seen 110 kilometer winds rip right through, tearing thick trees right out of the ground. Buildings collapsing. This is not a joke. And this is the least of the 10 days. Shalom.
Welcome, everybody. All right, so today is day two. If you've missed day one, I urge you go and have a look at that video, okay? It's a lot of information that is shared as we begin this journey where Father is leading me to do 10 days of judgment upon the earth. This is the final judgment that I will release upon all of mankind. And this is very serious, very important to understand why this is happening. What is happening that is causing the judgment to come? And more importantly, is how do we get out from under that judgment? What can we as believers do, okay, to ensure that we do not fall under that judgment? Because God is showing us a way. Okay, so stay with me today. I'm going to give you some more insight today in how to try and get out from under that. Okay, it's the only way I can say it. How to circumnavigate that. How to ensure that you do not go down with the system as well that is about to collapse. All right, so as I explained in the first video, I'm just going to do a quick recap. The Father gave me 10 days of judgment, and he compared this with the 10 plagues of Egypt because right now he sees this current kingdom of man, as I explained in the first video, as an Egypt, because the system that man has created is enslaving its people. The rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer. And even if God didn't step in to judge, this entire system is still set to fall. It is still going to collapse. It cannot continue in the way it does. Okay. If you want to understand this, I urge you, go look at the description box below. I've placed a link there, okay, to a video that it's almost a 2-hour video, but it's going to explain to you exactly what's going on in our economy, why this is happening, and why it's inevitable that this economic system that we created will collapse. All right, very important. Now, the current economic system that man created, like I said, has been made to enslave mankind. All right, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. It was created that way. It was strategically planned that way by the elite bankers who put this system in place. Okay. They created fiat money and they took it off of the gold standard. And what they did when they did that is they gave themselves the power to manipulate currency and the ability to print free money. So they just keep printing money, 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 because there's no standard that they have to weigh that fiat money on. They took it off of the gold standard, so they can just keep printing, keep printing. So what happens is the inflation rises, cost prices for food and items that we buy keeps rising, taxes keep increasing, property values, prices for properties keep increasing. Everything just keeps increasing. And more importantly than all is debt keeps increasing. This is all part of the plan, is to keep you in such bondage to debt that you are enslaved by the system, because you're working your entire life to pay off your debt. Okay, you cannot quit your job because, ooh, what about all the debt? How do I pay my house? How do I pay my car? It was a whole system that was cleverly put together that God did not create to enslave you. It's modern day slavery. Please, I urge you, go watch this video. It will explain everything much better than what I can. All right. Now, this is caused, this has a knock-on effect on the entire economy, every single part of it, okay? If you look at government systems and the debt that they have accumulated, let's look at America. America is sitting with trillions of dollars of debt. They don't make enough money to pay off that debt. Their government isn't dealing with it either. The debt keeps increasing. Some of their banks are collapsing, as we saw last year. The system cannot continue to run the way it's running. That's why many elites, they know it. They're aware of this. And what they're doing right now, okay, is shifting your attention to other things. They're not telling you what's going on. They don't want you to know. They're drawing your attention through the media that they own to many other things, okay, so that you don't wake up and realize that you have been enslaved and that this is heading for like a doomsday. Absolutely, they know it. So they've started building bunkers, taking their riches and building bunkers. Why are the elite, think about it, why are they building bunkers underground? You know, what are they afraid of? Why are they stocking up these places underground where they can survive for a very long time? What do they know that we don't know? You have to ask those questions. It's time that humans start asking the right questions and stop just continuing down this path of enslavement and being blinded and just trusting everything they say. It's time that we wake up. God is calling us to wake up, because if we don't, we will go down with them. They will take us down with the system that they have created. Doesn't matter how rich you are, you will go down with the system. It doesn't matter how many millions of this fiat money you have in your bank account. It doesn't matter. Sorry. It doesn't matter. You will go down. Do you understand that when the banks collapse, when the currencies collapse, when there's economic collapse, that money will not be accessible. You will not be able to go and draw it out. It will be worthless. It will be meaningless. Okay? I want to draw your attention to something that happened that shouted to the whole world, there is something wrong. And that's what happened in Zimbabwe. The whole world's attention was on it. But did we take note? Or do we say to ourselves, no, it's not going to happen here? But exactly what's going on in the entire world was what went wrong in Zimbabwe. And look at what's happening today. They have to take a wad of cash like this, to go buy a loaf of bread. One loaf of bread. Ridiculous. And it's all because of this system. We all blame Mugabe. What we don't realize is that all of our governments are doing the same thing. Even America. They're all doing the same thing. The world systems are going to collapse. And God is about to judge it. Because we have become, just like Egypt, enslaving the human race. All right. Now, there are some things that we can do. The Father has been leading me in this. How do we prevent ourselves from going down with the system? Well, the first thing is to wake up, to realize that there's something wrong, to keep just going like a sheep after everybody else and doing the same things and thinking we'll be okay. It's not going to be okay. I'm trying to tell you that. No, I'm not some conspiracy theorist. If you followed me for years, you understand that about me. I'm not like that. This is something the Father has shown me, led me in, and told me to tell you, and confirmed it all along the way. It is going to collapse. Yes, I know there's so many prophets saying, oh, it's going to be prosperous, it's going to be wonderful. And many follow them. You can continue to follow them and see where they lead you. But I will do what God has told me to do. And it's my job to warn you. The system is going to collapse. And not only is the system going to collapse, but God is about to pour judgment upon this kingdom of mankind. It's going to be much worse than any of you realize. We have to get off of this system. All right, so wake up. That's the first step. Do your research. Go look at that video. Really take note of what is being said so that you are awakened. Because if you are awakened, you can move to do what is necessary to survive. All right. Then the Father showed me that, he showed me in a dream, that what some people can do. If you have a house where you earn, you still have a lot of debt on that house, especially younger people. They've just bought houses. They owe the banks lots of money. Listen, when the system collapses, you will have nothing. Nothing. Only those who actually own the property deeds of their properties and not the banks will be able to survive. So what the Father showed me in a dream is that I should tell the younger generation who has bought houses, sell your houses and move back in with your family. Go live with your parents. I literally saw that in a dream. Go live with your parents. Most people's parents' houses are already paid off. They own the title deed. Go and live with them so that you can get off of this debt system, all right? I saw how they build a little flat in the back of their parents' yard. Do that. Yes, it's not great. It's not comfortable. But right now, we have to wake up. And we have to do what we have to do to survive. And then, as I've been trying to tell you for years now already, is become self-sufficient. Grow your own food. This is very important. There's a severe famine coming. There will not be food available. Grow it yourself. Learn to grow your own food. You will not be able to go and buy food. Money is going to become useless. You need to learn to survive, become self-sufficient, all right? Father also showed me, this I released about 2 years ago, that the only thing that will still hold value as it has throughout the centuries, from the beginning, is gold and silver. They should never have taken us off of the gold standard, because gold and silver actually has value. And therefore, if you can, if you're somebody who's really wealthy, I would urge you, take that wealth and turn it into gold and silver. Invest in gold and silver, else you're going to lose everything. All right. Now, this is also very hard. You have to do this. You have to pursue this, okay? But it is going to be hard if you're not plugged into a community. So Father has also been giving us instruction of how to help, how to make a way for people to survive. And this is what I've been doing. I've been doing whatever he's been telling me. We're starting a community here in the Northern Cape. There are many other communities. I don't care which community you plug into. I'm just telling you that there is more of a chance of survival if you plug into a community that is able to be self-sustainable, that is building towards that. Unfortunately, there's a lot of things that happens in these communities. I'm hearing all of the stories. So make sure you plug into the right one and that the community you're plugging into is not a cult. Because unfortunately, there's a lot of these communities rising up as well, has been for years now already. So do your homework before you plug into any community. Make sure that it's not a cult leader that is running it. Very important. But anyway, there are good communities as well that have seen the dangers, that have awoken, that are growing food, that are becoming self-sufficient. Become a part of something like that if you can. All right? We're also doing it. Ours is a little bit different, though. We're not just making a self-sustainable community, although that is one of the goals. We are actually going back to biblical standards. We desire God to govern us and not man. So we're going to build the ecclesia, the church of God. We're going to live together. We're going to grow our own food. And listen, this is exciting because this vision keeps expanding. At this point, we're building a whole town. And we're going to govern it ourselves. We're going to govern it according to God's principles of governing the church, because it will be a church-like structure. Very different than what people are used to. It's not a church you just go to on Sundays. The community will be run very differently. And we will get off of this world system. We will be governed by a different economy, God's economy. We will do things God's way. We will grow our food God's way. Everything will be done God's way. So if you are interested in this, please go look below. Join my Telegram channel, because we will be able to help you. We will be able to navigate what is coming. All right. Very important. Now, on day one, Father spoke to me and he said that he is going to pour out judgment by wind. So we're going to see destructive winds rising all across the earth. These are all types of winds that you can think of, tornadoes even, that is going to cause much destruction. He also gave us hope in day one, and he reminded us that we have power in the name of Jesus, that we can take up our authority and command the wind to be still. Listen, I've done this. I've seen it with my own eyes. It really happens. So this isn't something I'm telling you to do or God is telling us to do that holds no weight. We were in a storm where there was 110 kilometer winds ripping down the trees, blowing off the roof. And we prayed and God spoke and he said in that moment, command the wind. As if, you know, hello. Wake up. So I did. I commanded the wind, and within 10 minutes, the wind was gone. I phoned people 40 kilometers from me and asked them if the wind was still blowing, and they said no. And I asked them what time that the wind stopped, and it was the exact same time as it stopped by us. This is the power of our God. So this message doesn't come with just total despair and hopelessness. Please understand, God is showing us the way to survive. If only you would have ears to hear and eyes to see. Open them up, listen, and do what God is telling you to do. Else the destruction will come upon you suddenly and will catch you off guard because you did not listen. You did not stop and take note of what the Father is saying. All right. Pray that you may escape the coming judgment. Father, also let us to tell you that you need to keep the coming Passover. There's a Passover happening on the 22nd of April. Okay? Now, understand that the Passover represents the sacrifice of our Messiah. So what we're really needing to do is take communion on this day. All right? Take communion. Plead the blood of the Lamb over yourselves, over your properties. Anoint your doorposts and plead the blood of the Lamb, just as they did in times of Egypt. Moses told them what to do. Israel obeyed and they were saved. I'm telling you what to do. It's also very important that you remain in prayer and repentance. Okay? We need to understand things. I've done a series on Passover last year. I'm going to link that below as well. Go and watch it so that you can understand what God requires of you. That's very important. Okay, let's begin day two. For thus says the God of heaven and earth, the maker of all things. Yes, he who has given you the breath of life, he who has placed his spirit within you and made man in his image. I am the creator. I am your creator. Yes, I formed man. From the dust of the earth, I breathed life into your nostrils and gave you the gift of life. It is because of me that you exist. I formed you with great purpose, to know me and to walk with me. Yet since your creation, I have been grieved, because rarely does man turn to me to know me and to walk with me, the very one who created him. And yet this has been my desire, mankind. I have desired for you to know me. Does not all men, women, and children desire to know their earthly fathers? Yet few seek to know their heavenly Father and to walk with me. Few understand who I am and what I have done for you, mankind. Generations of men and women and children continue to rise and fall upon this earth, and few seek to know me, yet I have revealed myself to you. I reveal myself to you through the Spirit I have placed within you. I reveal myself to you through all of my creation that surrounds you. I have even revealed myself to you through my Son, whom I sent to die for you. I have also revealed myself to you through my Word. Yet man continues to turn a blind eye, seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, for man is stubborn and wicked. You are not even wise enough to learn from your ancestors' mistakes. For many kingdoms have risen and many kingdoms have been destroyed by the breath of my mouth, for their wickedness was great. Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed as an example to man. Noah was sent to cleanse the earth and save a remnant, and so these examples have been given to you in my word. For I am not a God that will endure the wickedness of man. I shall surely judge you, O man, and every kingdom that arises in the span of time, I will judge them according to their wickedness. Those who walk in righteousness to know me shall be blessed. and those who close their eyes and ears from my existence shall be cursed. For kingdoms shall rise and kingdoms shall fall, and you are at the precipice of a kingdom that is about to fall. For the wickedness of man has become great again. Yes, their wickedness I have endured, watching upon this earth in the kingdom of man, has been more severe than any other time and any other kingdom before it. Take that in. Worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. Worse than the days of Noah. And look what happened to them. Therefore you will endure the wrath of the Almighty. For the clock has now struck on judgment. Judgment has begun, and my cup of wrath shall be poured out on all mankind. For the earth shall reel to and fro, and all of man shall drink of my judgment. Only a remnant shall be saved. For I have declared judgment from the heavens upon this current kingdom of man. It shall be utterly destroyed, all the work of your hands, all of your greatness shall lie in your rubble and ruins, for I have declared it, and I have decreed it, and who shall annul it once I have spoken? For thus says the Holy Spirit, I am the God of heaven and earth, and judgment has been decided upon you, O mankind. Your kingdom shall be destroyed, for judgment is at hand. I will destroy all that you have built. I will destroy all of your great technologies. I will destroy all the wisdom of man. I will destroy your skyscrapers and your large corporations with my mighty hand, for I have decreed it, I have declared it, I have pronounced judgment against you, mankind. Hearing you will not hear, and seeing you will not see, until judgment is at your door. Therefore, take heart and listen, my children, for I am calling you to separate yourselves from the kingdom of man. I am calling you to open your eyes to see and your ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying and declaring to you. For judgment must come because of man's great wickedness, but a remnant shall be saved. All who have ears to hear and a heart to receive my instructions. Remove yourselves from their wickedness, as I removed Lot from Sodom and Gomorrah before I rained down my judgments. So I am calling my children to come out of Babylon, come out of Egypt, come out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Separate yourselves from among them, for my judgment shall be severe. It shall not tarry. It shall not delay, for the cup of judgment is overflowing, and I have judged the earth for all its wickedness, for I shall destroy it with wind and fire. The flames of my burning indignation shall not be quenched until it is spent upon mankind, until you have drunk every last drop of my judgment, then the earth shall rest in quietness again. The fires of my judgment shall spread from one end of the earth to the other. Continents shall be shaken. Continents shall be completely transformed and made, listen, made unrecognizable. Continents. Landscapes shall be changed. Ecosystems destroyed by the fires of my wrath. For great shall be the judgment on you, mankind, for all the evil you have done. Wind shall fan the flames of my fire, and it shall run like a horse galloping at full speed. It shall not be stopped, and it shall not be quenched, until it has accomplished all I have sent it for. Fires shall rage, and the smoke shall reach up to heaven as the earth languishes from the heat of my wrath. Many shall lose their lives in the fires of my wrath, for you did not hear, O man, you did not listen. I shall destroy your high towers, I shall destroy your corporations, I shall destroy your economy with the fire that proceeds from my mouth. For I have spoken, I have declared it, and who shall annul it? The mouth of Adonai Elohim has spoken. All right, Father, also let me to give you some of the scriptures he's been giving me. Let's go to Isaiah 34, from verse 8. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, the year of recompense for the cause of Zion. Its streams shall be turned into pitch, and its dust into brimstone. Its land shall become burning pitch. It shall not be quenched night or day. Its smoke shall ascend forever. From generation to generation it shall lie waste. No one shall pass through it forever and ever. This has happened to certain kingdoms, but they've been so utterly destroyed they've never been inhabited again. But the pelican and the porcupine shall possess it. Look how God gives back the earth to his creation. Also the owl and the raven shall dwell in it. And he shall stretch out over it the line of confusion and the stones of emptiness. They shall call its nobles to the kingdom, but none shall be there. And all its princes shall be nothing. And thorns shall come up in its palaces. We have sites that this was fulfilled in on this earth. Cities that were uncovered that's completely overtaken by the wild now, where thorns are growing in the palaces, nettles and brambles in its fortresses. It shall be a habitation of jackals, a courtyard for ostriches. The wild beasts of the desert shall also meet with the jackals, and the wild goat shall bleat to its companion. Also the night creature shall rest there and find for herself a place of rest. There the arrow snake shall make her nest and lay eggs and hatch and gather them under her shadow. There also the hawks will be gathered, everyone with her mate. Look how God clears out man and gives it back to the wild animals. Search from the book of the Lord and read. Not one of these shall fail. Not one shall lack her mate, and for my mouth has commanded it, and his spirit has gathered them. All right. Let's read Isaiah 14 from verse 22. It says, "For I will rise up against them. I will cut off from Babylon the name and the remnant and offspring and posterity. I will also make it a possession for the porcupine and marshes of muddy water. I will sweep it with the broom of destruction." This was said by the Lord in my 7-day fire prophecy. He said, "I'm going to sweep the earth with my broom of fire. The Lord of hosts has sworn, surely I have thought it, so it shall come to pass. As I have purposed, so shall be." Okay? Here in this scripture, I want you to go through it yourself. We see so many kingdoms being prophesied over that will be destroyed. Babylon, Assyria, Philistia, Moab, Syria, Israel. And it goes on and on. Ethiopia, Egypt. So many kingdoms that Isaiah is prophesying over, that their end is coming. Okay. Some will be destroyed utterly. Others will be judged and rebuilt eventually, like Israel. But so God judges the earth for man's wickedness. Go with me to Isaiah 26, verse 20. "Come, my people," it says, "enter your chambers." This is important. "And shut your doors behind you. Hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation is past, until judgment has been passed." For behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth will also disclose her blood and will no more cover her flame. Here, judgment is being prophesied over the entire earth. And God speaks to his people. He says, hide yourselves a little bit. Do what I'm telling you, because I'm going to judge the earth, all right? And there's a way to be saved if you obey me. He's doing the same thing now. Are we going to listen? Will we listen to his instructions, or are we going to go down with the judgment? Here's another scripture he gave me. So many. Isaiah 24. Behold, the Lord makes the earth empty and makes it waste. Listen, distorts its surface. This is what he spoke about in this prophecy. And trust me, more is coming about this. And scatters abroad its inhabitants. And it shall be as with the people, so with the priest. As with the servant, so with his master. As with the maid, so with her mistress. As with the buyer, so with the seller. As with the lender, so with the borrower. As with the creditor, so with the debtor. No one will escape. The land shall be entirely emptied and utterly plundered, for the Lord has spoken his word. The earth mourns and fades away. The world languishes and fades away. The haughty people of the earth languish. The earth is also defiled under its inhabitants. This is what we've done, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, changed the way God ordained for this planet to work. We have changed it completely. We have broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore, the curse has devoured the earth, and those who dwell in it are desolate. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men are left. The new wine fails. The vine languishes. The merry-hearted sigh, the mirth of the tambourine ceases, the noise of jubilant ends, the joy of the harp ceases. They shall not drink wine with a song. Strong drink is bitter to those who drink it. The city of confusion is broken down. Every house is shut up so that none may go in. People will hide in their houses again. There is a cry for wine in the streets. All joy is darkened. The mirth of the land is gone. In the city desolation is left, the gate is stricken with destruction. When it shall be thus in the midst of the land among the people, it shall be like the shaking of an olive tree, like the gleaning of grapes when the vintage is done. Verse 17, fear and the pit and the snare are upon you, O inhabitant of the earth. And it shall be that he who flees from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit, and he who comes up from the midst of the pit shall be caught in the snare. For the windows from on high are open, and the foundations of the earth are shaken. The earth is violently broken. This is prophesied in the word of God. The earth is split open. The earth is shaken exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall totter like a hut. Its transgression shall be heavy upon it, and it will fall and not rise again. This is the word of God. All right. Also turn with me, to Amos 1. Last one. Amos 1 from verse 3. Judgment on the nations. For three transgressions of Damascus and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they have threshed Gilead with implements of iron. But I will send a fire into the house of Hazael, which shall devour the palaces of Ben-Hadad. I will also break the gate bar of Damascus and cut off the inhabitant from the valley of Aven. And the one who holds the scepter from Beth-Eden, the people of Syria, shall go captive to Kir. For thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Gaza and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they took captive the whole captivity to deliver them up to Edom. But I will send a fire upon the wall of Gaza, which shall devour its palaces. I will cut off the inhabitant from Ashdod, and the one who holds the scepter from Ashkelon. I will turn my hand against Ekron, and the remnant of the Philistines shall perish. judgment being spoken over everybody on the earth in that time. For three transgressions of Tyre, and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they delivered up the whole captivity to Edom and did not remember the covenant of brotherhood. These are pagan kingdoms that God is judging. Note of this. Because he is the God of all the earth. He made it. And he will judge wickedness. Do you think Sodom and Gomorrah knew God? Yet he judged them anyway for their wickedness. So we are in error if we think, oh, because of Jesus, we will not experience judgment again. Because God does judge the earth. When man is filled with wickedness, he pours out judgment. This is prophesied up into the book of Revelation. He continues to do so. You can go read the rest yourself, even into chapter 2. He's judging the whole earth. He keeps doing it. And this is what he says, like, are you not, you know, you're not even wise enough to learn from the past. Every time we build a kingdom, we think we're better than the previous kingdoms. We somehow think that God won't judge us. Every single time, man doesn't learn its lesson, even though it's written in the scriptures. It's written in our history books. We even see the sites of these kingdoms that have been utterly destroyed. Yet still, we do not listen. I'm telling you now, there's little voices that's telling you, oh, that won't happen. What's she talking about? Doomsday prophet, whatever. Conspiracy theorist. Continue to listen to them and you'll see what happens. But those of you who have ears to hear and a heart to receive, you need to move. You need to do whatever God places on your heart. Pray. You need to get off of this world system. It will collapse. All right, shalom.
Hey, good morning, family. How are y'all doing? This will probably be one of the most important messages I've ever given on this platform ever. So I really want you to listen and listen carefully. I'm going to just start it out like this. You know, I gave you all, my wife and I, we gave you the list of the readout of that visitation from that man. And I've tried to find him. And I don't know if he's still alive or if he went on to be home to go home with the Lord. But he had another visitation clear back in 2014, the same year that I had mine. He went to tribulation and the Lord showed him tribulation. And every single thing that he saw, he saw different things than what the Lord showed me, which is absolutely amazing. But they go like a puzzle putting together. I'm going to have my wife read his visitation, and it's a dream. He had a dream. Now, I believe I had an out-of-body experience. I don't know. I haven't been able to speak to this man, but I'm going to tell you all. It's like you can take a puzzle piece of somebody who had the other puzzle pieces, and you had some of the puzzle pieces, and you can put them together and make a whole puzzle. I know there's probably somebody out there that has more puzzle pieces to the puzzle, even about the asteroid. I told you all about the asteroid coming and hitting Miami and down in the Atlantic Ocean and coming and wiping out the islands coming the water coming inland into the East Coast. And whenever I told you, I heard the Lord said, whoa, America, whoa, America, I have favored you and I have loved you above all nations. And I have prospered you above all nations. And I gave that word and I put it down there and it was just a couple months ago. It's almost like, you know, the Lord, I wasn't supposed to find this word until now because it would have influenced my word. You know, am I hearing this or am I hearing the word from this man? That's why this has just been so divine. It's just like a clock. It's perfect. And it's like finding it right now. It shook me, y'all. Because whenever I hear the Lord, I'm telling you, I hear the Lord. And whenever I tell you I have a visitation from the Lord Jesus and I see him face to face, there's nothing that I've ever exaggerated on it. I speak exactly what he says to tell you all. That's why it shook me so much. This visitation from this man having similarities, even things, and even about the boat and the EMP and everything. He's seen it all. He even said that the you'll hear about the earthquake that I told you all it was going to happen in Portland, Oregon. He saw it. And it's amazing the detail that he brings. And what I'm trying to tell you all, you'll go back and you can listen to some of my videos of what the Lord spoke to me. And he'll even say, whenever he's in this, that he doesn't know if this is pre-trib or before the tribulation starts or during the tribulation. And what I'm telling you, I don't either. All I know is I saw this stuff. I don't know a time frame. And I know that it's a judgment, and it's in a wake up. And I personally believe we're still here for some of this. So, but he didn't know. So I'm gonna link my videos in the description and put them on there so you all can find them easily. The words that I've given that go just like a mirror from what this man saw. And I, like I said, I don't even know how old this man is, but he was a professor at ORU. And my wife was at ORU, and when she was going to school there, she never knew him as a professor. But I'm just saying, so I don't know, like I said, I don't know if he's went home to be with the Lord or whatever, but I just wanted to tell you all this. So here we go. We're going to go straight to my wife, and she's going to read this visitation. Please listen to the whole thing. It's very serious.
Hi, family. I just want to take a minute and say thank you so much for all the encouragement from the last time I read. I take it very seriously, reading things from the Lord, and I just really wanted to do honor to God through it. So I really appreciate all the kind comments. We love you all so much. And so I will just start this. This week, I had a dream. It was a terribly frightening dream. In it, I saw a huge angel standing suspended in the air over New York Harbor. It looked so large that it covered the night sky. His body was clad in golden armor as if he was going to war. His face and entire being were so bright that I could not gaze up at him for long. White beams of light seemed to radiate outward from him in all directions. He was standing over the Statue of Liberty. It was night, but I could hardly see the lights around him coming from New York City as he blazed so brightly with divine light. He reached for his belt that was covered with a red sash around his midsection and drew out his sword. It was so massive. It blazed with light and fire all around it. It looked at least 100 feet long. I have never felt such fear when I saw an angel before. I just knew this mighty warring spirit had authority from the very throne of God. He had a grim expression as he held this mighty sword over his head with both hands. I could see that he was poised to hit the Statue of Liberty and cleave it in two. I trembled and tried to hide, but the angel was looking directly at me, and I knew there was nowhere to go, that he would not see me. Then he spoke. His voice was like thunder and echoed throughout the whole harbor. He said, "How long will you refuse to humble yourself, O America? You have been weighed in the balances of God and found wanting. Your beginning was great and noble, but your end shall be disgrace and destruction."
Okay, hold on. Right here. Did you hear that again? Read that again.
"How long will you refuse to humble yourself, O America? You have been weighed in the balances of God and found wanting. Your beginning was great and noble, but your end shall be disgrace and destruction."
That's exactly the word the Lord gave me. To my son can vouch for it. It's to the T, y'all.
Yeah,
there's
exactly.
No, it was identical. There's no word missing. from what the Lord gave me, and I have it on recording. But I have weighed you in the balance, and you are and you are lacking. He kept saying, he said this to me three times. I have weighed you in the balance, and I have and you are lacking. He was quoting Daniel to me.
Thus saith the Lord of heaven's armies, the Lord of hosts, time is running out. The bowls of my wrath are full of my fury and judgment. They shall be poured out upon you. You shall drink them down to the dregs, every drop. I have come to you day and night, pleading with you to return to me for over 100 years. I am merciful and long-suffering. It brings me no joy to judge you, but you have hardened your hearts, scoffed at my warnings through my prophets and my holy servants. I brought you from nothing and exalted you, O America, higher than any other nation. But now you have fallen lower than Sodom. You have sinned greater than Egypt. You have become prouder than Babylon and Persia. You have become more selfish than Rome. You have exalted yourself in your own wisdom higher than Greece. You have more idols and high places of idolatry and luxury than any Gentile kingdom in history. Your beginning was pure and great, but now the stench of your sin and filth fills my nostrils. I shall cut you in pieces, and you shall reap the harvest of wrath from what you have sown. You shall no longer be the queen of nations. Now you shall bear your shame and become the lowest of the heathen nations. Now, as Agag, you shall be hacked in pieces. O earth, 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 hear ye the word of the Lord. Then, to my horror, that massive sword came smashing down on Lady Liberty. When it hit the top of her head, there was a blinding flash of light, and that sword split her in two right down the middle. Then the sword came again and again against her. It divided her in pieces. As the sword would finish each strike, fires would burst forth. I heard terrible explosions. The vision of the statue ended with an earthquake as it was hacked into pieces and sunk into the harbor. I was weeping and crying out to God for mercy. Never had I seen this side of God before. I had only really known the love and goodness of Him. Never had I seen the wrath of the Almighty. Then, as if I was watching from a zoomed-in close-up, the dream shifted and I started to zoom outward from New York Harbor and started traveling in the air over America. What I saw was horror beyond anything I have ever seen. I saw the United States seem to crack in two with a giant earthquake right down the middle. I saw the southeastern United States covered with a giant wave of water from the ocean. I saw a massive earthquake that just seemed to crack off the coast of California. It reminded me of a saltine cracker that just cracked in two. The great cities along the west coast just fell into the ocean, all the way from Mexico up to Alaska, and giant waves flooded inland until much of the west coast just wasn't there. It disappeared into the Pacific Ocean.
Do you all remember that word? That's exactly what I saw.
Then I saw three giant rocket missiles that took off into the air. Two came from out of the ocean waters, and one came from land and traveled a great distance. All of them blew up in the air, one, two, and three in the upper atmosphere within 5 minutes of each other. It was out near space. They were terrible nuclear bombs. But the last one was the biggest, and it created a huge mushroom cloud over the Midwest part of America. Then the ground shook, and everything went black. There wasn't any electric light coming out of any of the homes. Then candles began to be lit in fires, and a little light was seen. There were other nuclear explosions, and many people perished throughout the nation. There was just twisted metal and charred debris in cities that once were tall and majestic. There was widespread looting and gangs roaming about everywhere with guns, stealing whatever food and supplies they could find. Then I saw what looked like elite riot police by the thousands go into communities and even cities, forced the people out of their homes, and brought into what looked like concentration camps. Some, but not all of these police armies had light blue helmets on. Hundreds of thousands of people were arrested in this way. Many would not cooperate and were just shot and left dead in their homes. But there were millions of hidden groups that escaped the first wave of these terrible disasters. Revival broke out, and great evangelists and prophets and apostles rose up and began to preach to thousands outdoors, and many were saved and were born again. Miracles of provision, multiplications of food and water, astonishing healings occurred. Millions of people cried out to God, and he heard and answered. I knew that this was not just happening in America, but the great tribulation was upon them, and all over the world, these calamities were also taking place. I saw multitudes of tribulation saints refusing to renounce Jesus as Lord. They were starving, many of them, but still refused to take the stamp on their bodies so they could eat and live. There was what looked like kiosks that were in every town. They advertised food and water only if you went inside them and took the electronic mark.
Okay, freeze. Mm-hmm. This is what I saw. Remember I told you all they tried to fake the mark of the beast. They put a mark on their head, trying to put a bruise or a sore on their forehead or their hand. And I try to tell you all, I saw women and moms that were so desperate for food, and they didn't want to take the mark, but they wanted to go to these kiosks and try to get the food for their children because they were starving to death. So he's talking about those kiosks right now. That's what I told you all about.
So I saw multitudes of tribulation saints refusing to renounce Jesus as Lord. They were starving, many of them, but still refused to take the stamp on their bodies so they could eat and live. There was what looked like kiosks that were in every little town. They advertised food and water only if you went inside them and took the electronic mark. Some went in, bowed down to a holographic movie images of the Antichrist, and were branded in their hands and foreheads with an electronic tattoo-like stamp. When they came out, if they came out, they had a zombie-like look. Their minds and souls were gone. Mm-hmm. It looked like they had a spiritual lobotomy. Mm-hmm. Then, these immediately joined the armies of these police units and were given weapons after they were fed and drank and rested in the kiosk. They were like robots doing the Antichrist's bidding.
See? And I told you all about that. I said, they looked like they were not there. I said, it's like their DNA changes. They're like their minds are gone. They don't cry. Remember I told you about the children born in the tribulation? I said, because everybody asked me, was kids in the tribulation? No, all kids below the age of 15 were taken. But if you were born in the tribulation, because people are still having babies, these are the children that will suffer. And so because they were born in that time frame, it says, woe to you who give suck in those days. Okay? The Bible even talks about it. So this is another part. He talks about a chip that is like a tattoo. I actually saw people being injected with some kind of microchip, and that's why I told you all, I believe it has to do with Neuralink. And so that's the difference between what he saw and I saw. And I did not see a hologram. They were made to worship on Fridays on the sides of buildings. And so that was one of the things that I saw. Every Friday they were in white outfits, and they were worshiping the Antichrist.
I knew that they were lost forever, but quite a few did not make it out. They were tortured mentally and physically inside the kiosk thing, but if they still refused the mark of the beast, there was a laser that shot through their brain and heart and sliced their heads off. Then they were immediately incinerated. Nothing but ashes remained. This was the most horrifying of all. It made the Nazi death camps look like a picnic, if that is possible. Millions of people were executed in this way via computer systems automatically with such precision and efficiency that I marveled that something like this was even possible and could take place on such a large scale. The technology was more advanced than I have ever seen. Then I was back looking at that terrible angel of the Lord, and he said, "Warn everyone, flee from the wrath to come. Repent and turn to Jesus while you still can. Pray that you may escape these things that are shortly to happen and to stand in the presence of the Lord. These things are about to take place. Turn to God and cry out for mercy. Come into the ark of salvation before the doors of grace close and it is too late." And so in finishing this up, he went to the Holy Spirit, asking him about if it was pre-trib or what.
He was asking him basically, is it a pre-trib, a mid-trib, or a post-trib?
Okay.
Because there's so many people have a stance on full tribulation. That
okay.
there's so many people going to go through tribulation. So he was asking the Holy Spirit, who's right, who's wrong, basically. What's the right theology to take? And this is the word he got from the Holy Spirit right after he had this tribulation experience. So here you go. Finish reading this.
Okay. So I went to the precious Holy Spirit and the Word of God, and I asked the Lord. I was actually very surprised at what he told me. The Holy Spirit said, "Not all of my people will be ready when I sound the shofar of my coming in the air. Half of those that profess belief in me will be left behind, as it is written in the parable of the wise and foolish virgins." That's Matthew 25, the first parable in that chapter. "I am coming for those that are prepared and awaiting and expecting my return. But I am not leaving the earth without a strong witness of my grace, my presence, and my glory. In fact, I have allowed some to choose whether they want to stay to be a part of the greatest revival and harvest of all of history, or to go on before to my wedding supper. But it is not my best for them. I do not want to see them suffer. In these last 7 years, it will be the worst time of all of history. No one will escape the tribulations of the coming wrath. Remember, it is only by faith that you will escape these things coming upon the earth. If you don't believe I am coming for you to take you out before the coming wrath is poured out upon the earth, I have no obligation to do so."
Read that again.
He said,
this is the Lord speaking.
Yep. "Remember, it is only by faith that you will escape these things coming upon the earth. If you don't believe I am coming for you to take you out before the coming wrath is poured out upon the earth, I have no obligation to do so."
Wow.
"But remember, all those that will be left behind will be killed for their stand for me. Many will not stand for me in that hour and will even lose their souls when the persecution heats up against them. This is because they were never really mine in the first place. But also, many champions for me shall arise and not compromise during the time of Jacob's trouble. I will arise and protect those that will stand for me, then until their works are finished. And then they shall all give their lives for me and the truth of my gospel. I have already separated my bride from the Lacedaemonian church. I have warned the church over and over to flee from the wrath to come."
He's giving his own thoughts.
Yeah, on this part. He says, "Now I'll just add that the greatest warnings have been in the last 120 years, which directly parallels Noah preaching while he built the ark. Nobody listened to him, but God had sent people. I mean, even people on street corners. They just laugh and mock at them, and he sent prophets into the church. Men like Ravenhill, repentance preachers, you know, people like David Wilkerson and many others, Steve Hill in the mid-90s in Pensacola, Get Right with God and others. And even now there are people warning, but you have to really look for those. Now why? Because the time would come when the church would not listen to sound doctrine anymore, and they departed from the Bible. Now they're preaching with itching ears. They want smooth messages that make you feel good. Therapy. How can I be fulfilled? Well, you can be fulfilled, but you don't do it by finding your life and becoming the ultimate perfect you. No, you do it by losing your life and dying and letting Jesus live in you. That's where the real joy is in fulfillment. Okay, so then he goes back to what the Lord
says. This is what the Lord says.
Okay. Time is running out fast. Get into the ark of safety. Flee from the love of sin and flesh and the world before it is too late. Is this plain enough for you? I mean, do you understand that? Do you have a brain? Then listen. Now listen. Do not look back upon Sodom like Lot's wife did. Flee the city of destruction. Flee from the wrath to come. Come into my secret place. The doors are closing soon. Embrace the truth of my promise that I have not appointed you for wrath, but to obtain my salvation. Escape the tribulations that are to come, and to be a part of my holy bride. Blessed and holy are those that obtain this first resurrection. And then he interjects, this is all in the Bible, it's in the New Testament. The Holy Spirit says, when are you going to start believing it? Amen. I am coming for those who love me, my soon appearing in the sky, my wedding and my glorious supper. I am coming for those that love heaven and the coming kingdom more than they love the passing pleasures of sin upon this present earth. Do not be deceived by false teaching that robs you of the blessed hope of my coming, my appearing. I am the great king and the bridegroom. Keep your lamps burning brightly. The midnight hour is here. This is what the Holy Spirit is saying. We must heed to it. There is not much more time, beloved. May the grace and peace of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah rest upon you in greater and greater measure.
I'm just telling y'all, that should get you so excited. I mean, personally, I'm so excited about it. I've told you about the marriage supper. I gave the visitation that I had when I went to heaven, and I saw the marriage supper of the Lamb, and the Lord, I saw the preparations they were doing for us, all the personal name tags, all the thought that Jesus put into celebrating us, the parade, everything. For he is good, and his mercy endures forever. And he's coming back for a bride that's without spot and without wrinkle. He's coming back for a people who has their lamps full of oil. He's not coming back for a harlot. He's not coming back for somebody who has one foot in darkness and one foot in light, trying to be riding the fence. He said he wants you either hot or he wants you cold, because if you're lukewarm, he said he'd spew you out of his mouth. It was very clear what he said in his word. It's time for people to rise up and be hot in these last days and preach the gospel and tell people that Jesus is coming. I'm telling you folks, we're running out of time. I'm passionate about this because I hear the Lord telling me all the time, this is less. We are in the last of the last seconds, son. You've got just one more push and the baby's here. It's like a woman giving birth. He said, as the days, it will be like a woman in labor. And I'm telling you, we're seeing the woman in labor right now. The labor pains are intensifying on a day-to-day basis. It's all around us. And the Bible said, no man knows the day or the hour that the Son of Man returns. And I'm telling you, he could come back very soon. Look around you. He said, look at the fig tree. Israel's in war now, folks. Looks like they could go in war with Iran. It's escalating and escalating and escalating. Do you see the times that we're living in? Do you see the sin is rampant around us? Do you hear the itching ears in the churches that they're preaching compromise and they're not preaching to live holiness and to live separated unto God? Yes, it's not by works. And I understand that, and it's by grace. But we're to live a holy lifestyle separated unto Jesus as the best as we can. Live in a repented lifestyle. Live in holy unto him. so that he is able to move through you on a day-to-day basis. Yes, our righteousness is as filthy rags before him. But I'm telling you, there is a separation from the world where you're not trying to be like the world. You want to be more like Jesus. I've said it and said it again. If you were in a lineup, in a prison lineup, and it was being convicted of being a Christian, it was against the law, would you be convicted? Would they throw you away, lock you up and throw away the key for the rest of your life because it was the death sentence? You know what I'm saying? Would you have that thrown at you if Christianity was wrong? Or would you stick in with the world? Is there a separation where you're the salt that they say, we know for a fact there's no denying that person right there is a Christian? Are you one of them? Are they going to look at you and say, I don't know. They kind of look like the world to me. I don't know. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It's time to get hot for Jesus. It's time to separate ourselves. It's time to be ready for a soon return, keeping our lamps full on a day-to-day basis, not just on Sundays. You go to Sunday, a lot of you are seeking in a church. You're going to a church that don't preach a good, solid, word-based gospel. You're going in there getting itching ear gospel. You're going in there and you're out in 30 minutes. You know, you have this little bitty church. They push you in. They push you out. You have a wild fog machines and all the stuff, the lights, you know, and I understand trying to get people and have a new bait to get people in there. I get that. You know, they're trying somehow, but I'm just telling you, they're losing the purity of trying to preach people's repentance and change and becoming better. You agree?
Mm-hmm.
I just feel it's so important that people understand what he's talking about, of filling your lamps full of oil,
mm-hmm.
keeping yourself right before him, mm-hmm. not being the ones that are going, well, I got to go find the oil now. It's too late. I've warned you all what the Lord told me. Half will be taken, half will be left. Right now, I don't believe, I don't know how many hundred million Christians there is, but if that's the case and there's half of those are left in the tribulation, folks, which one are you?
Don't put it off.
Yes, don't put it off. There's another man I saw in the comment section said, well, I guess I can go look at stuff and drink and live life like a heathen now for a while because it doesn't sound like he's coming back anytime soon. Why would you gamble your soul and eternity in hell over sin? It's not worth it. No man is promised tomorrow. You could die tonight in your sleep, folks. It could happen that fast. You could be in a car wreck, something. I know we believe for divine protection, but I'm telling you, I've seen tragic things happen to people. And they thought, well, I'm just going to go and live and have fun and sow my wild oats and go out there and have a good time and sleep around and do all this craziness. And I'm going to serve Jesus 10 years from now. That's my time frame. I'm going to give him 10 years. In 10 years, Lord, I'll serve you and surrender my life to you. And they die at 9. 9 years into it, and then almost the last year of it, they go home and they die. And they are in hell for eternity because they wanted to taste the fruit of sin just a little longer. The wages of sin is death. I'm telling you, folks, it's time today to ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. It's time today to surrender your heart to him. It's time today to turn from your wicked ways. It's time today to know that he could come at any moment. Are you ready to meet your maker? Are you ready to stand at that great throne, white throne of judgment? Whenever he's there and he puts your life before him and he says, what did you do for me? What'd you do for me on that earth? Did you serve me with all your heart? Or did you serve the world and try to serve me just on Sundays? Which one are you? Because I'm telling you, it's going to be a scary time when you're standing before the great throne and you're up there and the Father's looking at you and you say, your cup is empty. You're lacking. There's nothing there. You did nothing for me on this earth. Woe unto you. I pray mercy. I pray, God, have mercy. And I'm just telling y'all, we're running out of time. I always look for him during September time frame, during Rosh Hashanah. Could it be this year? Could be. Could it be that this would be the time we go into the tribulation? Could be. I've rambled on long enough. I've said a lot here. But I just wanted you all to see the parallels, the things that that man saw. And I don't even know him. Never talked to this man before in my life. But God's speaking to different prophetic voices throughout the world, trying to warn them about what's coming. And he speaks to me loud, and it sounds like he speaks to this man loud. But he put us to be a watchman on the wall. I feel like I'm Paul Revere, riding my horse through the towns, telling the Minutemen, Jesus is coming. Jesus, he was on there telling everybody, the British are coming, the British are coming, trying to wake everybody up, getting ready for the war. I'm trying to tell you, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming to get you woke up for the spiritual war. Are you going to be ready for the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ? I just feel so urgent to tell you about this. It's just been so stirred in me this week. I've been interceding for certain things, and it's very intense in the spirit realm right now. We're living in the last days, folks. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for every single person that is represented, if they're even still listening now. I thank you, Father, that they would know you. They repent of their sins and they turn from their wicked ways. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I repent of my sin. I make you my Lord and personal Savior. Jesus, I want to make you my Lord. Just make him your Lord. I want you to be my Lord. I want you to be my Savior. Forgive me, Lord. John 3:16. Read it over and over and over if you're a new believer. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish and have everlasting life. You don't have to perish and you don't have to perish, but you can have everlasting life today. When you make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, it doesn't have to be all hyped up and hard. He made it so a little child can get saved. He wants it so you can be, your little 5-year-old little child can get born again. It's easy. We make it hard. So I just want to tell you all, Father, I just thank you, Lord, for every single one of them. Like I said, I thank you, Lord, for healings. I thank you for wholeness in these people's homes. I thank you, Lord, for unsaved loved ones. We call them in Jesus' name. Angels, go out and bring them home. Go out and bring them home, Lord. We're running out of time. These people are loved ones, our children, our wayward sons, our wayward daughters, our wayward husbands or whatever, wives. Moms, dads, grandma, grandpas, whatever. If they're wayward, Father, we call them in. Aunts, uncles. It doesn't matter who they are. You know where they are. You know if they're in the bars. You know if they're strung out on drugs. You know if they're living in the slums. Father, we call them home in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that you don't want not one should perish, but all come to repentance. And that's even the ones we petition for. Our unsaved loved ones, and we call those in right now in the name of Jesus, for the hour is short and the harvester's coming. Jesus Christ is coming. We thank you, Lord. We send angels out right now. We send them out. We bind the demonic distractions. We bind the demonic spirits that would hold them down. We command you to release our loved ones and let them go. We call the harvest of souls in the name of Jesus. Father, like I said, give us a creative idea to bring souls into your kingdom. Give us a creative idea in our spirit. Give it, Father. I thank you, Lord. Creative ideas to bring people into the kingdom of God in these last days. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the anointing of the Holy Ghost to flow through us, Father, just like you did in Acts chapter 2. Father, they would say, are these people drunk? No. This is that, spoken by the prophet Joel. It's time for a great new outpouring of your spirit, Lord. A new freshness, a new wine and new wineskins. Father, that we are stirred up and we're excited about the word. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you fan the flame in these people today in Jesus' name. We call a fullness of a fire inside of them, a new refilling, like gasoline on a fire and then throwing some wood on there, Father, that we keep this flame going. I thank you, Lord, that they would be stirred up with the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. Well, I just want to tell you all, thank you for watching, if you're still watching. God bless you guys. And ladies and gentlemen, I always say guys, a southern thing, I think. But I just want to say, if you could, click the notification bell. It really would bless us. If you could, like the video. Put a comment down below what you feel about it, you know. We're curious of, you know, where your heart's at. Who's the people who's following us? You know, who's God brought to us? We thank you all for your support. We thank you, God. I mean, we thank you guys. We thank you. I say God. We thank God. Yeah, we do. We thank God. But we thank you all for your support. We thank every one of you for being such a blessing to us. If it wasn't for you, we wouldn't have a YouTube channel. And I'm telling you all, you're helping get the gospel spread throughout the world. Another person gave their heart to Jesus Christ. And some people got baptized in the Holy Ghost this week, too. I'm excited about them. We get these emails, and some of them, like I said, some of them are nasty, some of them are nice. But I like the nice ones. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you for all your love and your kindness. God bless you all. We'll put a smile on your face and a song in your heart. Jesus loves you so much, and we love you, and we will see you next time, y'all. Have a blessed and wonderful day. We'll see you. Bye-bye. Say bye-bye, Brandon. Brandon, bye. Bye-bye. Hey, good morning, family. How are y'all doing? I have some things on my heart today. You know, after I made that last video, you know, a lot of people were emailing me, and I got a ton of emails from everybody, seriously, and it was, some of the emails were, you know, rude, some of them were kind, but I got a really good email that was, it really blessed me. I'm going to have my wife read this email to you all that this person sent to me. It's a prophecy that was given, that this person had a visitation from the Lord back in 2015, and explains everything about what happened and why the judgment was set and why it didn't happen. You know, whenever I told you all that I had these warnings from the Holy Spirit in prayer in 2013, 2014, and then the Lord warned me that there was going to be a major storm come and basically the beginning of all heck breaking loose upon the world with the Shemitah cycle, with the, you know, and then, like I told you all, Rabbi Jonathan Cahn wrote the book, The Harbinger, and he came out, and there were so many prophetic voices that were saying something was going to happen. But I was never able to get a word from the Lord what happened whenever something didn't happen. You know, whenever, you know, everybody's talking about praying and interceding, and we turn things and stop things, and I know that, you know, I understand the power of prayer. I understand our authority and what God has called us to do on this earth. And so, you know, I always question, you know, when he came to me and he said, Brandon, things have changed. He, you know, what's the now word? And I told you all that. And when he spoke to me and said, what's the now word? He said, Brandon, I'm giving grace, and I'm going to give a more time. And so, you know, and that was back in August of 2015. Whoever this was that sent this to me, you know, I won't say their name, but I'm just going to say thank you. You know who you are. And I thank you for taking the time to do that, because this really blessed me a lot today. I don't know who this man is that had this visitation. I'm full disclosure. I don't even know this man. I know that he believes the way I believe, and he's been around after I've kind of looked him up and trying to figure out who he was. He's around the same influence of people that I've been around. So I believe he's legit. I really believe that he really had this visitation encounter from the Lord, and because he saw a lot of the things that I have seen over the course of my life of visitations that I had from the Lord. A lot of the way the angels, the way he describes things, it's absolutely amazing. So please listen to the whole thing. It will really bless you. And my wife is going to come on right now and do this. Okay? Thank you all. I'll be right back after she reads this, and I'm going to pray for y'all. Okay?
Hi, everybody. I've introduced myself before, but if I haven't ever, if you haven't seen me before, I'm Brandon's wife, and it's so good to be on here, and thank you guys. Just wanted to take a quick second to say how much we love and appreciate you all. And now I will just go ahead and read this vision from that this person
had.
Yeah, from the email. I had a vision prophetic experience as I was eating lunch recently. Suddenly, a portal opened in the spirit realm, and my angel said to me, "You are summoned to come to the courtroom of heaven. You are to record the case being tried now so that God's people will know the lateness of the hour. You must warn them so that the bride may awaken and take heed. The time is short." I was escorted by two angels to a seat on the left side, down front of the Supreme Courtroom. There were many hundreds of angels and saints already seated before the bench. I was surprised how much it looked like our Supreme Courtroom in America, except it was much larger. It looked more like a giant arena with thousands of seats ascending up as far as I could see. There were five big leather lawyer-like chairs with wings on each side in the front row. They reminded me very much of the kind of chairs my father always sat in behind his desk at his law firm years ago. There were gold embossed cards on them that said recorder on all five of these chairs. I must have been the first to arrive, and I was ushered into the one closest to the bench. I sat down and sunk into this really comfortable chair and was handed a pen and a small scroll. I was curious as I looked at it, for it looked really old-fashioned. The pen had a feather quill with an old-fashioned nib, like a fountain pen at the bottom, to write with. The pad was a scroll that was made out of parchment. It would open automatically as you wrote upon it when you got to the bottom of the page. It was kind of like an iPad that looked like a small Torah scroll at the same time. The angel showed me how it worked. It was extremely easy to hold and write on. When I would start to write, it would write whatever I thought of in perfect calligraphy script as fast as I thought it. The nib seemed to fly over the parchment with ease in my hand. It would write whatever the angel put into my mind from what I saw and heard to record, and then would describe perfectly any other information the Holy Spirit deemed important in an instant as it happened. It was the easiest thing I have ever written. It seemed to do all the work without my thinking or trying. I think this must be heaven's way of court legal stenography. I don't know if that's how you say it, stenography. Most amazing of all, I was writing in Hebrew, and I hardly know the language at all. But somehow, I understood and thought it in fluent Hebrew during the vision. I cannot offer any explanation for this at all. The angel said, "You are one of five prophet recorders that have been summoned from the earth to chronicle and witness this trial soon to begin. Just let the pen flow over the parchment, and it will be a witness to the proceedings. Then you will sign it when it is finished, and it will be added to the eternal ledger of legal proceedings." Soon, the other four recorders were seated and shown how to write as I was. I recognized one of them as a current prophet on earth. He was the only other from the Western world. I cannot speak of whom it was at this time, and the other three of whom were not known to me. We were all different races from different regions of the earth. One was a Chinese woman of great age who just glowed with the wisdom and love of God. We were dressed in black robes with red border sashes on the sides and the sleeves. The other prophet recorder was a lady from Africa who had a headdress that wrapped around her head, which flashed rays of light whenever she moved. She spoke and wrote in French, I believe. The fifth was a man from America. I was given a yarmulke, I don't know how to say that, I'm sorry, of golden color. It had 12 ruby stones around it. God called me to wear a yarmulke whenever I minister on earth, so I wasn't surprised that I had the one to wear here. When the angel put it on my head, I could feel the weight of it like it was made out of actual metal gold, even though it felt soft to the touch like silk. Everyone finally assembled, and a great and beautiful angel who presided over the courtroom named Justice stood up. She seemed to tower over us and was about 20 feet tall. Then angels appeared with long trumpets on either side of the courtroom and sounded a fanfare that ended with a blast. The angel Justice then shouted with a very loud but soprano voice, "All rise, the Honorable Ancient of Days, the Judge of all creation, the King of the ages, the Most High Lord Almighty is present and presiding," or proceeding, I don't know. I think it says presiding. "We all stood up exactly at the same time in unison. Then the most awesome sound of praise and worship filled the atmosphere as we all began to praise His glorious majesty together. I have never experienced such a sense of awe as the fear of the Lord filled the court. It was only then that I could just make out who was seated behind the holy bar. There were not nine judges, but 12. God the Father sat in the middle with 6 of the Supreme Court judges on both sides of Him. I somehow knew He was the final deciding vote in every decision. After our praises finished, the angel justice, who I now saw was a lady and not a male angel, shouted, 'Be seated. The High Court is now in session.' She was standing just in front of His throne. She had a golden gavel and struck a giant crystalline base with it. There was a great thunderclap and lightning flashed out from the gavel base and flew across the room in all directions. It was only then that I could see the judges behind the bench. The only person I could not see was the face of the Father, but I could see the throne He sat upon and the outline of His face. He seemed to be clothed in a white blinding light as well. He had a black robe on, but had every color of the rainbow flashing out of it. If He moved even slightly, lightning bolts would fly all over the room out of His head, His hands, and His feet. The other judges to the Father's right hand were Enoch, Father Abraham, Moses the lawgiver, David the king, Elijah the prophet, and Daniel. On the Father's left hand were John the Baptist, Peter, James, John, Andrew, and Paul the apostle. I do not know whether these were the permanent judges of the Supreme Court of Heaven or not, but these were the ones seated for this case. They all were dressed in these black iridescent judge robes. There were stunning crowns of glory on each of their heads, and they were holding gold scepters in their right hands. The Father in the middle on the throne of judgment held the biggest scepter and had many crowns suspended over His head that shot lightnings out of them in every direction. I could not look upon Him or His face because it was so bright. It was like looking into the noonday sun. I was given one glimpse of Him when He first came into the courtroom. There was a rainbow that would appear that encircled Him above and below that I saw a few times during this vision. I could not endure looking at Him for more than a split second before I had to avert my eyes, for the white blazing brightness was too intense. All the judges behind the great bar were emanating a great light that was also nearly blinding. That is the closest I can describe them now. Then the case was read before all present by Lady Justice, the angel. She spoke, "This is the summary of the case brought before the Supreme Court of Heaven today. The timing of the final judgments of the day of the Lord must be decided. The accuser, Satan, is prosecuting, declaring that the time of Adam's lease is over and he must be allowed to take ownership of the earth for a time and times and half of time, as it is written in the Holy Scriptures. Representing the Holy Defense is the Lord Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, the Lamb of God. At this, Yeshua himself stood up at the defense table as the Advocate General of the Bride of Messiah on earth. He was representing the holy saints of God still alive in their bodies on earth. When he stood up at the left table, everyone bowed and worshipped except those at the prosecution table to the right. There was a very handsome man who sat just stone-faced with several other princes at the prosecution table. They did not move. The head man sneered when they worshipped Yeshua. Representing the agenda of the fallen Lucifer, now called Satan, is himself, the accuser, liar, and deceiver, Ha Satan. At this, the handsome prince with the evil smirk stood up. No one moved. There was silence in the courtroom for about a minute. Then Lady Justice spoke again. You may sit down now. Finally, he did so with another sneering grunt. I marveled that he seemed human and actually very attractive to look at, although there was no heavenly light in him or around him. The prosecution may proceed, Lady Justice proclaimed. At that, this man stood up. He was robed in a black suit that had a long cape of crimson red that followed behind him. He had gold epaulets on his shoulders that were built into his cape. He was very articulate and extremely haughty. I got sick to my stomach as he spoke. He walked back and forth in front of the courtroom in long strides with his nose in the air. It reminded me of a painting of what Napoleon looked like, except this man was much taller than Napoleon. He began his long diabolical of accusation against fallen man. He seemed to know the Bible very well. Starting from Adam and Eve, he began accusing God of failing mankind in every generation. He started with the stipulation, Adam was given exactly 6,000 years to rule the earth. He gave that lease to me, and I own it. I have a right to rule over every man, woman, and child who are mine by Adam's free choice. The time is up. I now demand to be given to me the government of mankind through whom you call the son of perdition. I call him my son of man. I have the scriptural right to take control of the earth for 7 years. Give it to me now. Then he sat down. Again, for about a minute or so, there was complete silence. Lady Justice then spoke again. The defense may proceed. Yahshua then arose from the defense table. He wore a white robe with blue trim and red sleeves, with a bottom border and neck border of red. He wore a small diadem of solid diamonds as a crown. Once again, when he stood up, everyone bowed their heads before him in worship, except those at the prosecution table. He said, in summary, as the true Son of Man, I have taken the death penalty for every generation of fallen man, including those in this harvest generation. I also strip Satan of his authority over the church of the living God. His gates can no longer prevail against her. Through the intercession of my holy bride on earth, the overcoming church of the living God, there has been granted a pause by this court to allow for the fullness of the harvest to come in. During the last hearing on this matter in 2015, 3 years ago in Earth's time, for I spoke on...
So listen
earth.
To that. Did you hear what? That? What he said?
Yes.
In 2015.
Yeah.
So read that again.
He said, where was I? There was there has been granted a pause by this court to allow for the fullness of the harvest to come in during the last hearing on this matter in 2015, mm-hmm. 3 years ago in Earth's time. For I spoke on earth as it is written, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and then the end shall come. I, by the authority of the prayers and intercession of the bride, documented here in this scroll, he handed the scroll to the Father and another copy of it to Satan's prosecution table. I petition the court for another measure of time for the end time church to finish and fulfill the promise to my people, as it is written that none should perish, but all who are truly mine have the opportunity to hear the good news of the gospel and to be saved from perdition. As he was speaking, Satan, the handsome man lawyer, was busy reading the scroll feverishly to see if there was truly enough intercession to stop his immediate seizing of the earth and for the tribulation to begin. He was consulting his other diabolical lawyers about it. Foul language was coming out of his mouth along with a hissing and accusing his right-hand man, saying, you told me that we had destroyed the prayers of the church. The Great Awakening had been thwarted. And then he was saying bad words. Yahshua continued, as you can see, my faithful bride remnant has kept the faith, enduring the evil, and continue to overcome. The blood of the martyrs has proven their faithfulness. Look at China. Look at the Middle East. Look at Africa. Look at Indonesia. Look at South America. Look at the islands of the sea. Look at my persecuted bride in all nations. Even America has held. Through all of hell has been thrown against her. The facts speak for themselves. I have the authority to request for another extension of time. The defense petitions the court for another extension of time in the grace that I purchased by my blood on the cross. Also, I petition the court to look into the scrolls of the hidden councils written before the foundations of the earth regarding the mysteries of the harvest of the end of days. These Satan has no knowledge of, as they were never shown to him. It is written there, as well as in the hidden revelation of Scripture, that the tribulation beginning the kingdom age must begin only after all of my bride that are ordained to eternal life are saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. This information can also be found in the scroll given by my hands to the court for eternal record. The evidence written in this scroll fully confirms and documents our holy and righteous claim. Though millions shall come to me and be saved in the tribulation to come, my holy bride must all be prepared now. Then there came a time of silence. Nobody moved. The judges on the bench were studying the scroll. Somehow it had multiplied into 13 scrolls. All of the judges, including the father, read through the scroll. I got to get one glance at the writing. It was written in red. It was written in the blood of Yeshua. I was told by the chronicling angel that was helping me to write. Amazingly, as I wrote about this, the ink coming out of my pen became blood red as well for the duration of the description of it. Then it turned back to black ink again. After some deliberation, there was a vote. Every judge voted in favor of the saints to extend another time period of grace. I cannot disclose how long it is at this time. Finally, the Father, the great judge of all the earth, spoke. He said, on the basis of the evidence presented by the defense, I decree that the prosecution has failed to bring a closing to the final days of grace on earth. An extension of time has been granted to the saints of the overcoming bridal remnant church. Nevertheless, the birthing pains and judgments on the earth will not be stopped. Ha, Satan has the authority to rule over the tares of the earth.
I want to interject something here. Read that. Nevertheless, read that again.
Yeah.
I want you all to understand what he said, what the Father said here. Read that here.
Nevertheless, the birthing pains and judgments on the earth will not be stopped.
Mm-hmm.
Ha, Satan has the authority to rule over the tares of the earth, the wicked in darkness, by their willing consent, according to the tenets of free will given to Adam's race at the beginning of creation. Both the tares and the wheat have grown up and are now ready to be harvested. Therefore, the birth pangs of judgment shall increase.
Increase. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
I said from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah.
Yep.
What did the Lord say? And now look at here.
Yep. Therefore, the birth pangs of judgment shall increase. Those that will abide with me in the secret place, I will provide for and protect. Those that do not are in more and more peril with each passing day. Though I have granted this, the final day of the Lord has indeed come, and the prosecution is correct. The time of grace upon the earth is nearly over. Warn my children, this is the midnight hour. Watch and pray that you can stand in the evil day and overcome. I am answering the prayers of my kingdom coming to earth. It shall come first in the fire of my holy judgments, but it shall also come in the great awakening that I have promised of revival and outpouring. The time of my wrath is soon to engulf the earth, but in it I will remember mercy. Many millions of souls shall be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Then the angel Lady Justice came forward and was blindfolded. She raised a large old-fashioned scale in her hands above her head. Into one of the bowls, a presiding angel poured a black sand-like powder from a brass urn. This tipped the scale to all the way at the bottom as far as it could descend. This represented the accumulated sin and rebellion of all of mankind, as well as the failures of the church in this generation. Into the other bowl, a presiding angel, dressed in a golden robe, poured a white sand-like powder from a porcelain white urn that represented the prayers and intercession and obedience of the overcoming church in generations past, as well as the bridal company of our generation. This is what allows for evil to be restrained. I was really alarmed because it looked so small at first compared to the amount of black powder in the other bowl. But the angel kept pouring, and suddenly the holy justice scale began to balance out. Then it was even. As we all watched, the scale suddenly shifted. The white bowl went down, and the black bowl came up. Then there were mighty shouts of praise and victory in the courtroom. Then the father raised his golden scepter in his left hand and slammed his gavel down, accompanied by thunderclaps and lightning flashing everywhere with bursts of rainbow colors shooting through the courtroom, and said, "The time of grace shall be extended and petitioned by the bride of Messiah for a little longer. Blank more." It doesn't say how much. He won't say how much more length of time has been granted to finish the final harvest in the age of grace. Note, I have condensed what was spoken in the trial into this brief summary. I am forbidden to share any more, though much more was spoken. You can eventually go to the Library of Legal Proceedings in Heaven to access the entire transcript. Of course, you will probably have to wait for this access to when you arrive there, unless granted by the Lord through revelation by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Then I was told to sign the recording scroll I had written. The four other prophet recorders also signed their scrolls. I noticed that their scrolls were written in different earthly languages. The most visible was Chinese. Then the vision ended, and I immediately went to my computer and typed what I saw and heard. "Dearly beloved bride of Messiah, we must labor now while it is light. Soon it will be night, where we cannot labor in the harvest fields of the earth any longer. People, get ready. Jesus is coming." Thank you all for listening. I'm a little camera shy. I'm usually with the kids and everything while Brandon's recording. So I hope that it blessed you and that I did it justice. So now here is back to Brandon.
Well, what'd y'all think about that? You know, in my opinion, there were some things that I have to think about. But for the most part, I mean, you know, I didn't see, whenever I've been into heaven, I didn't see a lot of black. So, you know, it was on the streets and things like that. On the houses and the buildings had black on some of the trim, but I didn't see black clothes ever. So, you know, I know it was a courtroom setting, and so this is what I thought was interesting. You know, whenever I told you all that I was taken in the spirit and I saw Satan being an accuser of the brethren, he was accusing me. I told you all about this, about opening some door through sin. And he was saying, "Now, see, now he's opened the door. Now you have to hand him over to me." And he was petitioning the Father to destroy me and saying that I had opened doors through sin. And the angel came to me and he said, you need to take communion right now. And I told you all about that. So I took communion and I pled the blood over what I had done. And I asked the Father, when I cried out for mercy, and Jesus stood in the gap for me as my attorney. And he said, my blood speaks for him. And Satan started screaming and yelling in the courtrooms. It was very similar to what this man said that he saw. So he's talking about how Satan goes up there and is accuser of the brethren. So he has a lot of the same things that I'm trying to tell you all that I've seen. I've seen this courtroom. I've been in there in the spirit. I've seen the angels warning me that I was on trial. And I saw that the blood of Jesus Christ spoke for me. And he speaks for you. He speaks for every single one of us. He's at the Father making intercession for us. And it's amazing to me that somebody else had more detail than what I saw. I had a glimpse, and I could see what was going on. I could hear the courtroom. I could hear the voices. But this was so detailed of everything that the Lord was speaking grace over us, as usual. He's a merciful, merciful God. And so this blessed me. That somebody else saw something like this, and I was just like, "Lord, wow!" And I wanted to come on here and share it with you. And so I hope y'all, it blessed you as much as it blessed me. So really, bottom line, 2015, they had a trial. This was, for what my wife did some research, this was 2018 when he had this visitation. So the Lord keeps granting more time through our prayers. You look back at what I told you all, the Lord told me, I want you to go on YouTube and I want you to teach people their authority, and I want you to teach them prayer, and I want you to tell them I'm coming. Interceding for the things that I show you in protection for some of the people, in protection for to advert some things for certain things that he has that he shows me. You know, we can pray and pray and obey. That's what I try to get across. Pray and obey and believe. And I believe with all my heart, we can change the outcome of a lot of things. We have power and authority, like over the weather, over the things that I'm trying to warn you all about catastrophic events, trying to push back war. Remember one of my visions I told you all, this is my prayer thing. I pray with this, you know, my tallit is what I believe it's called. When Jesus said, who will stand in the gap for America? Who will intercede for America? Because I saw the Antichrist agenda trying to come full force and push and try to, it was trying in the spirit to raise war up even faster, trying to do things. And even whenever you listen to what he said, what the Father said out of his mouth, I had my wife read it twice. The birthing pains are not going to stop. They're going to increase and increase and increase. It's biblical. He's not going against his word. Okay? But he, just like I told you when I went in before him, and I said, as the days of Noah, remember that visitation I had? There's so many visions and visitations that I've had that line up with a lot of what some of this stuff was said. He said, I'm in control of time. When did I ever design the armor for you to retreat? You have escape mentality. Remember that one? I told you I went to the throne. And I saw the glory, and I saw the fire, and the light. What he said, it was brighter than the noonday sun. The light of the Father was so bright, it would burn your eyes out. You couldn't stare at it. Every single thing that he starts going through, and telling people, telling through this visitation what he saw, it just shows you we're not going to retreat and back down in fear. The Lord wants a harvest of souls. And a lot of people don't understand what they think they have. Well, Jesus come back this year. Jesus come back. Well, no, not until we see a harvest of souls. Yes, there'll be a harvest of souls after the rapture of the church. But I believe during the tribulation, I believe there'd be a lot of people born again and turn from everything. Because they know. They see the Bible coming to pass. People who even have a little bit of inkling of the Bible know what's going on. You can look around. You can feel it. It's tangible in the atmosphere. If you just barely, it's like a pinprick, and you're getting wet. So what I'm trying to say is, I believe we're about to see through the prayers of the saints, just like we were saying, what the purpose of this channel is: interceding for America, interceding for the Europe and for Asia and everywhere, South America. You know, just interceding for Africa. For this last push, doing our job, being that salt, getting this billion soul harvest, believing him for the supernatural like we've never seen before in this earth. I believe we're going to see this. And I believe that's why we've not been taken out. I believe with all my heart. I've seen dates. I've seen things. And people go, well, you missed it. No, he delays things on purpose because he's in control. He loves us, and he doesn't want that. Not one should perish. Not one. How, you know what the Bible says? If ye being evil give good gifts to your children, how much more does your heavenly Father give good gifts to those that love him? Think about that. We give good gifts to our kids, and we have evil hearts sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Until we get renewed of the Lord, the Bible says, how much more does a Father that loves us want the best for us? He's our God. He loves us. So if he wants to give a good gift to you, he don't want you to burn in hell forever. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ is coming, and he's coming back for a spotless bride. He's coming back for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. He's coming back for you, and he's coming back for me, and he wants to take us to heaven, and he loves us so much. But he doesn't want none of your relatives going to hell if we can help it. Let's do our best to preach the gospel, telling them that Jesus loves them. I don't know why all this, the Holy Ghost always hits me. I start crying. Telling them that they're going to burn. Telling them that they have a choice. Choose life.
so I just want to say God bless you guys. If you could like my pillow, my like pillow, like this video right now, please. My wife Diana made that. And then subscribe, our subscribe pillow. Please subscribe to our channel. It really would bless us. And then please, if you could go even further and click the notification bell, it would be a huge blessing to us. I just want to let you all know, every time you do that, you help the algorithm out with the, YouTube, and you're getting the gospel spread throughout the whole world. We are getting people saved all over the world, seriously. One soul at a time, Jesus is using this channel. And I just want to say, it's because of people like you that you've been a blessing to us to help spread it by putting it on Facebook, sharing on Facebook, and telling people about us, and just being a blessing to us. I just want to say thank you. And so let me pray for you real quick. I know this video is going too long. Father, I just thank you for every single person that is represented here. I ask you, Father, right now to give a special blessing over them. I thank you, Lord, that you give them boldness. I feel, I hear in my spirit to call boldness and fire down on all, every single one of you. That there would be a Holy Ghost boldness on the inside of you, bold as a lion. That you would not be timid and walk away from people when the Lord puts it on your heart to witness in these last days, to lay hands on the sick and see him recover, to cast out devils, to do whatever he's called you to do, the Great Commission, that you to raise the dead, whatever it may be, that you would not shy back, but you would press forward with the Holy Ghost fire and boldness in these last days. I call boldness over you in the name of Jesus. Over your mind, I speak to the spirit of fear, and I command you to release them right now in Jesus' name. I call confidence and assurance of knowing who you are in Christ, that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come nigh you. I cover you with the blood. I thank you, Lord, that there is a fire and electricity going through them right now, delivering them from whatever they have ailment of. I thank you, Lord, that they're healed from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. I thank you, Lord, that the light that pierces all darkness, I thank you, Lord, that it is shining on them, and that the light, just like it was on Moses' face, would shine on them in public, and people would say, what is it with you? That every pore of our bodies, every fiber of our face would shine Jesus. That Jesus would shine in us, that Christ in us would shine out of us. And the people would see the love and the light of God in our eyes, in our face, in our hands, in our emotions. That Jesus would be illuminating out of us on a day-to-day basis. That we have a more assured faith, that we know that you are inside of us, God. That we have a confidence in you, that we understand that you said we would hear your voice, and a stranger's voice will not follow. We thank you, Lord, for creative ideas to get souls. I thank you for creative ideas, Father, for soul winning. That we would, it'd be never be seen before ideas. It doesn't have to be TV or social media, but Father, it could be a creative idea to get a soul saved. I thank you, Lord, that you help us. You give us wisdom. Holy Spirit, lead us and guide us into all truth, into all things that we need to know. Show us the things to come and what we can avert through prayer to stop the plans of the wicked. That we're not behind trying to put out the fires. We stop the fires before they start. That we're hearing you before the enemy tries to do something. That we're not always trying to pray over a war. We're trying to do this or that. Father, that we stop the mess before it even starts. Because we have you on our side, Lord. And you know the future better than we know our past. And I thank you, Lord, that you would give us wisdom and revelation knowledge concerning your future, concerning our future, concerning the world, knowing that we have a covenant and a better covenant through Jesus Christ's blood and him, and he was raised from the dead and set at the right hand of the Father. And I thank you, God, that you dwell on the inside of us. We're wall-to-wall Holy Ghost. And we thank you, Father, for it in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. I just want to say thank you, like I said. Well, put a smile on your face and a song in your heart. Jesus loves you so much, and we love you, and we will see you next time, y'all. Have a wonderful day. Bless you guys. Bye-bye.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Welcome to the God Seller 7 and End Time Prophecy Channel. I'm Sister Barbara, and I'm here today with a prophecy I received on, let's see, on March 10th, 2024. Let's see, what am I going to do here first? Let's start with the prayer first. Today is March 12th, 2024. I have to laugh because the other day when I put the video up, I had the date wrong. I had the year wrong. Thank you guys for putting up with me. All right, so let's see what we're doing here. So let's do the prayer of Jabez first. Now, again, the prayer of Jabez is in the scriptures. God the Father in heaven, in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, bless me indeed. Expand my territory. Keep evil and the devil away from me and my family. Let your hand be with me always, and please don't ever let me cause anyone harm or pain. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Dear Lord, thank you for everything. We need you. We need you in our lives. Thank you. Thank you for answering all of my prayers. Thank you, and I love you. All right. Let me see what we're going to do here now. Okay, so before I start into this, the scripture and the prophecy, I just want to thank everyone again from the bottom of my heart, everyone that helped chip in on the equipment that I could get, helped the ministry financially so I could help people that are in need. Thank you so much. You people are awesome. Thank you. All right, so join me in the King James Version Bible. Yes, I'm still sick. Doctor never called back yesterday, so the phone might ring here, and I'll stop it. So I'm going to be in the King James Version Bible, and I'm going to be in one of my favorite books. Yes, this is the We're Going Home one. let's see, 1 Thessalonians. I'm going to be in chapter 4. Let's start at verse 15. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord. Here's the Holy Spirit. Look at this, bearing witness to his words. You know what? All I did is pray for the scripture, and as soon as I saw what it was, I got, yes, chills from head to foot. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive, look at this, Holy Spirit, I don't even know if you could see this all over me. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wow, yes, we want to go. Okay. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. They are very comforting. We need this. All right, so again, now, this is in my phone. I told you I send it to me because it's easier that way. Now, I didn't know what we were going to get when I started hearing this. March 10th, Sunday. God's wrath has come. Are you worthy to escape the coming events in my appointed time? I hear your prayers, my children. Holy Spirit, I know you are ready to leave the earth and be mine for all eternity. Whoa. Now, I said this on the other one. Imagine if I'm recording this and wham, we're gone. I know many are contemplating unthinkable measures to stop their pain and suffering. Yes, I see it in the messages. They feel I have abandoned them. I have not. I will not. Speak to me and pour out your heart to me. I am with you always, and I am listening. Okay, now this is very interesting, this part. Excuse me. Wait a minute, is that the end of that one? And this is the next one? No, this is the next one. Okay, because I got another one, too, aside from this one. Okay, so that was the end of that. I have not. Okay, they have feel I have abandoned them. I have not. I will not. Speak to me and pour out your heart to me. Excuse me. I am with you always, and I am listening. Whoa. All right. Whoa. All right, back up. I know you are ready to leave the earth and be mine for all eternity.
Yes.
Okay, so now we know there's going to be, he says this, are you ready to escape the coming events in my appointed time? I hear your prayers. Now I pray day and night, and you need to do this too, that you are accounted worthy to escape the wrath to come. So he starts off with, and I didn't know what we were getting here, God's wrath has come. Look at this. Whoa. Holy Spirit, bearing witness to the truth. All right. So you need to get, be prepared, have your house in order, have yourself in order, get your family in order. Let them know what's coming. He says it straight up. And then and the one I get after this, he's given us instructions on what to do. So if I'm up to it tomorrow, because you can hear my voice now, on top of the earache and everything else. Now they threw a sore throat on it. So my voice is going in and out. Now, Brother Dan used to like to don't laugh when I used to get laryngitis. I'm like, okay. All right. So, okay, let's see, where were we here? All right. So, again, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You can read about that in the book of Acts, Acts 2:38. You need to have an emergency plan. You need to be prepared for whatever is coming. Just look around. Look at the headlines in the news. Now, I was just seeing all sorts of things going on, excuse me, with gas leaks, fires. I mean, no matter what it is, every day I see some sort of doom on there. Okay. All right, now I know I'm ready to go. I know you guys are too. Now, I did see all your prayer requests under the last video. Again, the same thing with this one. If you feel the need to leave a comment and you have any information that maybe will help somebody, that's fine. If you have a prayer request, I always go through them and always pray over all of them and ask our Lord to please, please hear your children, accept me as intercessor on their behalf, grant them healing and restoration, and some, a lot of people need financial support too and help. He's listening. Don't give up. Don't stop praying. Be encouraged. Prayers are being answered. I know this for a fact. All right, am I missing anything else? All right, so people that need, okay, I want to thank everyone for the translations. I just thought about them when I saw them. Thank you for the translations under the videos. Thank you, everyone that sends us stuff, Jill. Thank you for the lovely magazine. You're such a blessing. And I don't know if I mentioned, thank you for the lovely picture of your family. Thank you. I did see prayer requests, so you can leave one anywhere. Like I said, we always pray over them. Excuse me. Let's see. Brother Dan needs prayer, of course. He was really in bad shape yesterday, running around to doctors and all colonics and all this other kind of stuff. Let's see. My son Joseph still is struggling. My mom, down in the nursing home, yes, with dementia. What else? I saw Karen once again. Yes, you're in our prayers. Jean, you're in our prayers. Let's see. If I don't mention you, it's not that we're not praying. It's just that I didn't write everybody on the list. So please feel free to leave a prayer request there again. Thank you, everyone that sends me things in the mail. You're such a blessing. Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone, again, that supports the ministry financially so we can help other people. All right. I think I've covered it all because I can feel my nose starting to run. I'm going to have to call the doctors back myself. All right, so again, now if I'm up to it tomorrow, I will try to put the last prophecy that I did get, and have a blessed and safe day. We love you guys. I'm sure I forgot something. And Sister Amber will be here anytime now. I'm not sure what we're doing today. So be safe. Have a blessed and safe day today, and thank you for everything. We love you.
Almost there.